Hello and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turner and I'm here with Matt Murray.
Hello.
James Farley.
Hello.
But a last minute text message means that Sean can't be here tonight. He is not well. And judging by the description he gave us, none of us would want him here. Actually, it sounds like he's going through some horrible stuff. So feel better, Sean. I hope you're better by the time you're listening to this, mate. So it's just a three-man show. We haven't had this for a while, have we?
No, it's been a while, but it's all right.
This is when it will just go silly within 30 seconds. Is that how it's going to...
Almost guaranteed.
I get quite worried with these shows, honestly.
When you say these shows, do you mean every episode of the Computer Game Show? Because I say you sound before we record.
I mean every episode when it's just me and you two, because it usually ends up with ganging up on me at some point, and it's just, I don't enjoy it so much, you know?
That's not the case,
well,
is
hold
it?
On, Sean gangs up on you as well. It's not just that, like, surely it's one less person to take the piss out of you, James.
No, but
surely
it gets,
that's a
it
good
gets,
thing, isn't it?
It's meaner with this, because like Matt's showing off to you the whole time.
What?
And then like it's just
more like Dave showing off to me. I don't need to show off to David.
Well, you're showing off to each other all the time, like, you know, how far you can go, and it just gets a bit much.
Humour.
How far we can go. What's the furthest we've been, James?
I don't know.
The one time where you've just thought, this is too much for me now?
It's just cumulative, isn't it? Like over a period of time. It just gets a bit much.
No, this is it. You can't even give an example, Matt.
Exactly.
This is a problem with
James.
There
you go. Look,
it's just accusations around.
Some
right?
examples.
And he never backs them up. He never backs them up. Oh, you guys always take it too far. Give us one time. I can't. It's just.
Yeah, because like I said, it's like the drip, people. Drip of like a sink. It's like, you know, if you like leave like a tap on, like, and it's so it's got like a drip coming down over a time, that becomes annoying, but you don't remember every single drop, do you, like, from it? It's just
no that's fair enough, but you continuously put your head under the tap, James. That's the problem. We're gonna drip away, mate. We're gonna drip. Move away from the
Guilty.
Tap yeah, don't put yourself in the firing line of the tap.
I'm thirsty, yeah? Dave, I'm thirsty.
That's and, it see,
this
he secretly loves
sink.
It
there's been so many drips, there's a full sink and you're like, you know, submerging your entire head. And saying, why
you're
am I wet?
In it.
Why is my head wet? There's a lot of drips in the
you're
sink. It's a full
in
sink.
It.
And then you're like, oh, I can't believe my head's wet because of all the dripping.
You're dipping your gigantic penis into
what?
The sink.
Where does that come from?
Why did you do that?
I don't know.
Come on. Like, we've been recording for like, what, how long? Like 2 minutes and you've already done that. It's like, this is
it's
not...
It's already started, isn't it?
Should
we
neck,
get on
baby.
To the Full Nails crew, James?
Go on,
should
do
we get
it.
On to the Full Nails crew?
Just get on with
they
it.
They are... Our Patreon producers this month, they are Aaron Patrick, Simon Nelson, Tom S, Jack Oven, Moomin Biscuit, Richard Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gazman, Gabby Pereira, Graham Mackay, Rocketman76, My Dog Skip, Rex Reese, Matt Murray is my favourite podcaster, and Matt Morley's brother Mike. they are the Full Nails crew.
And love it.
Can I just make
this
a correction?
Trend, must be. Go on.
You said Rich Ernsberger. It says Dave Ernsberger on here.
Did it really? Did I say Rich Ernsberger?
I'm certain you did, yeah.
Oh, no.
I am so sorry, Dave Ernsberger. That is... Thanks for pulling me up on that, James. You're doing a good job, mate. Well done.
Thanks.
That's a shocking mistake to make. I'm sorry, Dave Ernsberger. You are our Full Nails Member of the Week. How about that? Whoa, what a flipperoo for you. Don't get upset.
I like the members. Idea of Matt Morley listening to this show randomly. I mean, that's probably never going to happen. But not only will he maybe listen to an episode and Matt Morley's like a running meme, then like one of the patrons is Matt Morley's brother, Mike. I mean, what the fuck is
Does
this,
Does he
Matt?
Know he's a legend? Does he know he's a legend on this show?
I'm not going to mention to him now because it'll just be like, he'll be like, why? And I'm like, oh, God, you have to go about 60 episodes, but there's an arc. Don't worry about it.
Can we do some Matt Morley t-shirts? Like, would that be possible?
Oh, I'd love that.
What would it say and why?
Just, I am Matt Morley.
Yeah.
the M squared. Matt Morley and Matt Murray. best friends. M squared, best friends. We could do something like that. I'm sure we
I was
can.
Thinking more,
well,
like,
we were going to do t-shirts.
You know those hilarious ironic t-shirts where it says Nirvana, but it's like a picture of like Nickelback or Hanson or whatever.
Yeah.
That, but it's like Matt Murray and it's a picture of Matt Morley's face or vice versa.
I think vice versa would be funnier.
No, because no one will get that.
Yeah.
We can't. We just... excuse me. Is this Matt Morley? Yeah. Can we have a picture to put on some t-shirts?
Why don't we do Matt's face?
Please?
You do Matt's face, then put Matt Morley underneath
what,
it.
What, just put Matt Morley underneath it? Yeah, but he said all vice versa, though, James. He said
all vice versa. Well, he clearly hadn't thought it through.
No, like when he said I haven't. Maybe one is
which
different
is
on the
weird.
Back.
Isn't your name Mr. T-shirt? Shouldn't you be all over
no,
it?
No, it's not. Like, actually, we haven't done t-shirts for ages. Need to.
No, we haven't.
Do you know, we should do? We could get t-shirts done with the Patreon producers like on the back, like tour dates. Do you know what I mean?
Some people might not like that, but that is an amazing idea. Having so at the front it says Full Nels, and then you put the names on the back of the that would be good. I like that idea. I mean, I'm sure one of those people don't want their name on the back of a t-shirt that someone's walking around on, but you know.
But it would be good because everyone will have Matt Murray's My Favourite Podcaster on their back. So,
yeah, but I like the fact that's not the last one anymore. So it doesn't sound like I've just added a little comment on the end of it. People know that that's part of the Full Nels crew.
I'll have to keep
now,
that.
Not personal opinion. So
I'll have to keep changing
I'm up for
order.
That. Right. Should we get onto Patreon? No, we shouldn't. If you would like to support us on for what we do week in, week out for everybody, then please go to patreon.com/TCGS. There are various different tiers. We've got bonus shows. We've got live talksovers. We've got the Full Nels crew. It's all there. You're all catered for. Whatever tier you want to go for, you fucking go for it. Matt, we've got the talksover coming up, haven't we?
We have this Sunday, which is Sunday the 15th of August at 9 p.m. We'll be doing our Patreon monthly talksover. We're still haven't quite confirmed what it's going to be, but if you're an £8.50 and above Patreon, or you want to be, there'll be information about the live stream, which only Patreon members can watch live, in a Patreon post in the coming days. But that is this Sunday at 9 p.m. And look out for a post.
So sign up and come on down. There'll
sign
also be a bonus podcast coming soon, where we're looking forward to Matt, who has committed to writing Sonic fan fiction, which we will read out on our bonus show. I'm looking
really
forward to that, Matt.
Really,
have you started
looking
writing
forward
yet?
To it.
No, I haven't. Summer holidays have started. And I need to.
Summer holidays have started. So Matt Morley's been knocking on my door saying, "Can Matt come out to play, please?" Is that what you're saying?
And looking after the Elodie. But yeah, incredibly busy. I mean, I need to start writing. I've got some ideas. And as I said, we might as well talk about now. I did say to you, like, I've never read any fan fiction, so I don't know how hard it goes. Should I look at some? And you said no. So I'm worried, but we'll
yeah, just tell us, like, write
we'll
it.
We'll see what the results
you've
are.
Got to try and guess what fan fiction is. Yeah, yeah, and we'll see what comes out.
Definitely. I mean, I think I know what fan fiction is.
Absolutely shouldn't read some. But okay, all right. Well, then you crack
probably
on.
Incredibly
we'll find out how close you are. Wouldn't it be great, James, if it's just a story about how Sonic and Knuckles go shopping or something and then go home and say goodbye?
I mean,
that's the end.
I'm really hoping that we can, like, take it in turns to read it as well, because I think that'd be brilliant if we can do that. I want to read, like,
a page each or something. We'll see what pops out of Matt Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a look. Right, okay, should we get some feedback from last week's show?
Hang on. Have we decided how long this thing is?
I was going to say, I don't know how much we expect. I'm not going to do an entire, series of...
I mean, I'm expecting at least a page of A4, I'm expecting. At least.
Maybe if I do three sides of A4, you can each read a side.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, something like that. That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in size 2.5 text.
Wide margins.
Get right.
You go for a classic size 20 font.
Let's have it,
so that should be narrow margins.
Right, okay.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Come on.
We get it.
All right, let's get to the feedback.
Okay. We go star of Sasha Gray. I love the podcast, but can we remove all the politics and scandals? I just want a fun podcast about games. It seems like every week now, there's some stuff going down and I play games to escape it. Well, I'm happy to say, Sasha Gray, absolutely not. Like, we could...
Well, to be fair, right, I understand that point of view. I understand that point of view. Sometimes people want to get away from the horrible stories that are breaking. Like, I totally get it. But at the same time... There's no way we're not going to report on what is probably the biggest and arguably the most important news story of the year surrounding the industry. There's no way we're just going to ignore it. So, unfortunately, no. But, That's just, well, the show's already always covered news like that, haven't we?
Yeah, we've always exactly. done that. The whole point of this news story, these types of news stories particularly, is that the more people talk about it, the more people will be held accountable, and that's going to hopefully serve to improve things for everyone. I don't see what the point... I mean, it's like people saying, you know, get politics out of my games or movies and stuff. Like, everything is politics, and also we haven't... It's not like we've just started doing these kinds of stories. We've done these stories since day one. Because it's important. It's awkward to talk about sometimes, because it's like these are troubling stories and whatnot. But the whole point is that it opens discussion and hopefully makes things better and brings it to light that it's not just about the games, is it?
I get that. I get that. And there are some people that are angry that we're reporting it. I don't really think that's what's going on here. I think, you know, judging by the way it was worded, it was kind of like, this is an entertainment show for me, and suddenly I'm sitting in the middle of a discussion about some really heavy topics. So, yeah, I understand sometimes that'll be uncomfortable for some people on a different level to, rather, you know, not as a usual, this is, you know, the internet rage or whatever. But yeah, no, we're still going to continue doing those. So I don't know, maybe skip the news whenever there's a really horrible news story. And unfortunately, it seems like it's been every week, because it's been every week for the past few weeks. So yeah, we're going to carry on reporting on it.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we'll move on to Garrison Savannah. I think Dave's right about the cost of SSDs for the PS5. That will probably come down over time. As Matt said, they are not a brand new tech. They're just M2 NVMe SSDs that support the latest PCI Express standard Gen 4. When Gen 3 drives were the new standard, they cost around £200 for a terabyte. However, they're now down to as little as £100, as they have become much more widespread and made by loads of manufacturers. I'm sure as Gen 4 becomes more widespread, the price will come down, which is likely to happen since Windows 11 has support for direct access, which will allow PCs to use the SSDs in the same way as the consoles and will need the new standard of drive. However, I can't see the same happening for Xbox, since their drive is a proprietary piece of kit, so there won't be the same competition between manufacturers.
Yeah, but then there's already a huge price gap already between the two drives. So, Sony, there's going to be a long time before Sony get down to the level that Microsoft's at now in terms of price for storage. I'm kind of with you guys. You were saying, I think, Matt, you were saying last week that I'm happy deleting games and reinstalling them. I've always felt like that, because I've been lucky enough to have a decent connection and stuff, so it's less of an issue, I guess. I mean, there is the occasional night where we're talking about what we've got installed, and that's a bit frustrating, because, you know, there's games that I own that I don't have installed, and I can't just go, oh, let's play a bit of that now, because it's not installed. We have to sort of say ahead of time whether we're going to be playing a game like that. But at this price point, I can't see, you know, it's a nice to have, isn't it? And you put a price on that based on how much money you've got. See, and right now, I'm not spending £250 on a terabyte storage.
I'm totally happy at the moment with my Series S just having like another hard drive like connected up that I just copy stuff over. It doesn't take very long. It's like, I'd rather
wait, I need to do
like
that,
10 minutes or whatever for something to copy over than spend like hundreds of pounds on something. It's like, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
Oh, I believe I was praising that idea about a year ago before these consoles came
out. It's great because they update as well. Like, they're automatically updated. It's just copy them over and they work. It's very good.
So Sony don't do that, do they? No,
well,
they do that.
They do,
they?
But it's really confusing and complicated. And I remember when the PS5 first came out, there was trouble with connecting up USB drives, because if you went into rest mode, it was like corrupting the drives or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I've not risked connecting anything up yet, because, you know, but the thing is, I very rarely play like multiplayer games on my PS5 anyway. If I'm playing multiplayer stuff, it's almost always on Xbox.
Yeah, same.
So with the PS5, I don't mind just having a couple of things installed, because doesn't matter, you know. It's, I think if you're playing multiplayer, it's probably much more of a big deal, you know, because you often flip between stuff. But yeah,
well, hopefully they'll get that sorted, because it seems like an ideal solution, really. If it's only taking 10 minutes to copy something over, are you able to do stuff while it's copying stuff over?
Oh yeah,
James?
Of course. Yeah, you can do anything you like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that needs,
yeah,
that needs,
it just
to
goes into your kind of downloads and updates queue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I but the thing is, I mean, I did say, you know, I maybe there'd be a point where I do buy one of these, but that when I bought the 4 terabyte drive from Xbox, that was fine because that was kind of like that was almost unfathomably big. So it was just like set it and forget it, download everything, don't think about it. Whereas 200 quid for a terabyte, that's still not massive. There's still a point where you're like, I'm still gonna have to play around with some moving things around. An extra terabyte isn't so big where you're like, I'll download everything.
Have you put that 4 teza in your Series X?
Yeah.
Oh right, okay, cool. So you've been doing the old switcheroo as well?
No, because basically I've moved all the optimized for X and S games onto the hard drive and onto the external hard drive. Onto the internal thing, but onto the external one, I've just got like old 360 games and old games, because I was also getting kind of fed up. I had so many games installed on the external 4 terabyte drive that every time I clicked updates, I had like 10 or 15 updates for games.
Oh yeah, that's a very good point. 10
or 15 updates for games that I didn't play anymore, or they were massive, or it's like, okay, wow, you've got like a updates for four. I mean, like Forza I do have in, but you know, like Forza, Fortnite, Call of Duty, it's like Gears 5. It's like these are, I'm just downloading like terabytes of updates for games I'm not even playing. So probably not quite hundreds, but lots and lots of games I downloaded, you know, when I was obsessed with Microsoft reward points and weekly quests and stuff. I had so much on it. So I loved the week. I went through the whole lot and just removed everything that wasn't a original Xbox or 360 game, because they're not going to have updates. And so, yeah, but all the ones are optimized for X. I've got on the hard drive at the moment. When it gets to the point where I don't want to keep juggling stuff, then maybe I have a think. But yeah, I probably will buy one at some point, but I'm not desperate at the moment. Nowhere near. Right, we're going to go on to next to Jim Jam Jafar. Loving the show, lads. Giving Dark Calls a listen, because we're running reruns at the moment. I didn't realise how long ago 2015 was until I heard James talking about Vine. Wow.
I miss Vine, man. What a platform that was.
Well, we've got TikTok now. It's the same, but different and better.
No, it's not the same. It's just not the same.
It's not the same. It's very much.
When I was
the
watching
evolution.
Vine, I never felt like there was someone watching over my shoulder going, "What about this one? what about this one? See this one? I'll only show you a bit of that. Go to that profile to watch the rest of that one."
But yeah, but that's because apps are just more like that these days. Whereas, you know, in those days.
And is it me, right? Or is there like an insane amount of, you know, young women just about to do something and then it cuts away on that app, and it just makes you feel, oh, I'm not,
I haven't seen it on my TikTok feed.
It makes me feel like I want to delete the app.
I don't use TikTok. I'm too old now for this. I don't use TikTok.
But
couldn't
we make him the best TikTok star ever?
No.
Like, we could do something, right? If we gave him like a song to dance to, and he could dance to it, he could do his break dance.
The only connection I've had with TikTok is watching it on Darman. You know, when they do the whole like being TikTok famous thing, and they're always talking about doing a dance and stuff. It looks awful.
James, you say too often TikTok. It's a video platform where there's often kind of funny videos. How are you too old to watch fun, humorous videos?
I tapped that out is a good with point. Snapchat. Like, as soon as that came, I was like, I don't want any
again,
more social
totally
networks.
Again, totally different platform. Like, Snapchat is very much geared towards kind of private messaging and stories at that other time.
Matt, you're taking the wrong angle here, right? The angle should be, you're too old for TikTok, James, right?
Yeah.
Not too old to stream video games on Twitch?
It's different, though, isn't it?
I'm quite comfortable doing that. Was it different? Okay.
It's different. Okay. I'm not doing a funny dance. Yep. I'm not doing funny dances and stuff.
You're okay doing a video games podcast.
Only a percentage of TikTok is the funny dance. You know, it's YouTube, but in short form, basically. There's anything, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you are too old for it.
Ooh, look, you only watched that for 3 seconds. Don't worry. What about this? This is a bit different. Watch this. And this is, you watch that for 15
seconds. Right, okay, can we move on?
Can you stop doing that? It's horrible.
Cam?
That's, yeah, exactly. Exactly, James. That's how I feel when I'm watching TikTok.
So then don't watch it. Just don't bother.
I haven't done for a while.
Yeah, he hasn't watched TikTok since he created those ones, James, that he did when he was meant to be off the internet. Cam Ashworth, speaking of old gaming TV shows, do any of you fine upstanding gentlemen remember a show called Game of Web TV? Sounds great. Which aired on a little known Sky channel called Friendly TV sometime in the late 90s / early aughts. It was basically just Twitch before the internet really kicked off. You used to be on for hours, and they would just sit and play games while you could text in and ask questions. Keep up the good work.
Oh, my God.
I can be asked to come up with a kitchen utensil or
innuendo. I think we're looking at a talks over here. Like this.
Yeah, I was just about to say, there is...
tell me there's some stuff on YouTube.
There might be some stuff. I think there might be some stuff on YouTube. We'll look into it.
I'm not going to Google it now, but Gamer Web TV sounds incredible. It kind of reminds me of Blog TV, Dave, which you and I were obviously obsessed with.
Those days were good.
Or because obviously I think Justin TV must have been a thing already at that point, but I don't know.
I think we were on both of them, but we would go onto those websites and we'd watch, and we were. I mean, we were mean every now and then, but for the most part, it was just really funny. Like. Finding someone on that platform that had a thing up saying play me any music and I listen to it. I love all music and appreciate all music. Yeah. And we were sending things like the Birds of a Feather thing
and the songs from Pez 2017 or actually earlier. And they're like, this is brilliant.
Hit play and it was what'll I do when you, and they were just sitting there looking at the camera just going, oh no, that's a very sweet song, thank you for sending it over.
Absolute tears going down. I mean, the amount it got to the point where, you know, I would wake up like a sore jaw because I've been laughing so much until four in the morning, because Blog TV.
Good times.
Jenny Tollwarts, howdy. When discussing The Ascent, Sean made numerous references to the game being set on a planet that is an entire factory. This isn't correct. The game is actually set in an arcology, a city within a skyscraper, hence why everything is about trying to get up the levels of the building. It's a minor thing, but I think arcologies are way cooler than factory planets, as proven by the fact you can build one in SimCity 2000. I rest my case. Keep up the great work, chaps. That discussion about third-person cameras literally having me crying.
Sean Bell.
Maybe
that's why he's not here, Sean.
Yeah, he's let everyone down there.
Sean saw this feedback, which I put in. I probably put a feedback in about 15 minutes before we recorded. He saw this and thought, oh, I can't be on the show. I can't deal with this.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
So,
I can't handle this. Yeah.
Someone's picking me up on the arcology shit. Sean. Oh, no, I knew it would happen. I knew it would bite me on the ass one day. It's happened. We're going to end with Mr. Balloon Fight. Cheering up James. Since James mentioned that misery makes him smile, I highly recommend watching Lost Soul.
That's not what I said. Yeah.
No, you didn't say that. I highly recommend watching Lost Soul, The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau. It's available to stream on Amazon, and it tells the story of a movie that seemed to welcome disaster after disaster from day one. You'll be green like a hyena for a week. That sounds amazing.
It does sound good. That does sound good, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, James. You can't say, I never said that. And then what the person has taken from that is content that you actually, are laughing and giggling about the fault of. Yeah. Like, you're so excited about it. This is right up your street. Maybe you need to watch that and we'll report back.
I will. I'm definitely going to watch that. Yeah, I'm going to put it on my watch list right now.
Because you can.
I can see him copying and pasting it from the doc.
Because you can do like watch parties on Twitch if you've got you and also all the list of viewers have to have Amazon Prime. But for certain titles, you can do that. I don't know if actually the Amazon Prime video plays in your Twitch player or what. But But please watch from James, and if it's as bad as it sounds, that could be a winner.
Yeah, I just found it on here. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching this.
Okay, good. Can't wait. Thank you. That is it for feedback. If you want to leave us feedback or message about anything you want, go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS.
Cool. Let's get to the news. James Farley.
Okay. I think we're going to start with an Activision Blizzard update because there has been quite a few things that have happened this week. I mean, the first thing that happened was that we had President J. Allen Brack has left Blizzard. He's gone. So he was there for 15 years, and he's now left to, as they say, pursue new opportunities. So he wasn't fired, but he's gone. And
why say it like that? You know what I mean? No, why have they said it? Oh, he's gone to pursue opportunities. Oh, well, what are we supposed to say? Good for him.
Oh, yeah.
It's just gone.
And so Executive Vice Presidents Jen O'Neill and Mike Kubara have been now co-leaders of the company, like, effective now.
Yeah, so Mike Ibarra used to work at Xbox for many, many years, and then went over to Blizzard, so...
I do remember that, yeah. But then there was a memo sent to staff where Brack acknowledged the extremely troubling hurt of former, of current and former employees, and called the behaviour detailed in the lawsuit completely unacceptable. But he's gone now. Then Blizzard's the HR executive has also left. So this was the SVP of Global HR, Jesse Mishuk, yeah. Left the company earlier this week, which would have been last week actually, because this is when this was from. And this was reported by Bloomberg because there was a lot of criticism over the HR department, which was, you know, part of the lawsuit, because they kind of seemed to ignore what was going on. And then later on, the Activision Blizzard staff rejected the company's choice of law firm because it turned out that Activision Blizzard wanted to hire this company called WilmerHale, which is well known for having pre-existing relationships with Activision Blizzard and its executives. And it's one of those ones which is kind of a union-busting, you know, organisation that tries to discourage workers from unionising. So that wasn't very good. And then there was also a new lawsuit, but this time from investors. I mean, we talked a bit about this last week, but there's like a class action lawsuit has been filed by an investor company called Rosen Law on behalf of the studio's investors. They claim that Activision Blizzard made false and or misleading statements and or failed to disclose a number of things related to recent revelations. And then they are arguing that as a result, their investors suffered damages because of the allegations that have come out. And then finally,
yeah, so that's an awkward one to consider, really, isn't it?
Because it's very, yeah.
You know, on one hand, you're thinking, well, this is going to, you know, make them sit up and listen, and hopefully, you know, react and change. But on another hand, you're thinking this is the reason they're going to sit up and listen and react and change.
Yeah,
you know,
because people have said, "My money, I'm losing money."
The more issues that have come up, yeah, it makes me feel uneasy that.
And then also, there's been fallout from advertisers as Coca-Cola and another company that I've never heard of called State Farm, who are probably massive, they've decided to reassess how they're going to move forward with like sponsoring things like Overwatch and stuff like that. And also T-Mobile have pulled all its branding from the Overwatch League as well because of this. So there's been quite a lot of things have happened this week in kind of response. I mean, you've got these people in the leadership leaving, which is probably a good thing, but then also I hope they don't feel that this just kind of fixes everything, because obviously it probably, you know, it doesn't.
No.
And, you know, it's... I mean, Bobby Kotick is somebody that needs to maybe consider whether he should be there or not.
But, it's a start. Obviously, it doesn't fix things, but people are going, which is good. The thing about Kotick, I mean, have you heard about the fact that if he's forced to leave or let go, like, then they have to pay him like $290 million.
It's got probably, ridiculous... Well, they're already paying him like $150 million or whatever for performance-related pay, which is insane. You know, like, you know, that he got recently.
But he gets like a massive, massive payout if, like, he gets told to go. So it's, I mean, the whole thing's absolutely fucked.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see how this thing progresses.
There's a lot of sorting. I noticed, there's nothing from Ubisoft this week.
No, there's been nothing there. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to say at least Activision Blizzard people are leaving, because that's, you know, as we said, it's maybe not, that's not solving like all the problems there are. But what are Ubisoft doing? See what's happening. So we're not hearing anything at all, which is not good.
Yep. All right.
Okay. Also, in other news, it is related. Gone Home's co-creator has stepped back from the project. This is Fulbright. It's Steve Gaynor, who's known for creating Gone Home and many sort of other games. And he was working on Open Roads, which is coming out reasonably soon. And he's confirmed that he's moving out of a leadership role because he said that he admitted his style was hurtful to the people that worked at Fulbright. And 12 former employees of the company have like spoken to, I think it was Polygon, and said that that they'd left partly because of his behaviour towards staff, and that there were a number of problems here. They said it wasn't sort of explicit sexism, but there was a sort of veneer of inclusivity, was how they described it, and said that there was a sort of a toxic work culture there.
Yeah,
so also bad.
It was weird to see this news story come out, and then the result of that was we've moved this person to another.
Yeah.
Part of the business.
Well, yeah, he's still a writer,
but he wasn't really addressing it. He wasn't really working in the office or whatever.
He's still a writer on the project.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's a strange one, that. I don't know how to feel about that either.
It's the Ubisoft approach. You know, you just move them somewhere else. It's a bit odd. But yeah.
Yeah, this one felt weird because Steve Gaynor, you know, part of the Idle Farms podcast for so long and Fulbright, so about kind of creating diverse kind of experiences with a diverse kind of set of, like, you know, people, and they're kind of indie darling, you know, with the games they released. And yeah, it's like when I saw some kind of semi-cryptic tweets when this thing first broke, people saying, Steve Gaynor, no. I was like, oh, fucking hell, like, what now? And yeah, and then obviously this is, everyone's case is different, but I'm just like, oh, Steve Gaynor, for fuck's sake. It's like, yeah, it's clearly kind of, it's bad throughout the industry, whether you're like a massive, huge company like Activision Blizzard, or if you're a small indie dev with, you know, with only a few members of staff, there's clearly massive problems across everywhere, really. But
fucking arseholes everywhere.
Yeah, it's a widespread everywhere. Problem. Yeah,
yeah.
Not good. Yep.
Okay.
So shit.
Shall I move on to Fortnite?
Let's move on to Fortnite.
Yes. Different, but yeah. So it turns out that Google were apparently considering buying Epic, and so this was during the whole, you know, at the beginning of the trial and everything. Apparently, they wanted to squelch the game company's attempts to circumvent the Android Play Store, according to these newly unsealed court documents that have come out. And so Epic has been quoting this internal correspondence where Google described this, like, what Epic were doing as a contagion that was threatening, like, because it could mean the end of the Play Store and everything. And Tim Sweeney said, this was unbeknownst to us at the time, and because of the court's protective order, we're just finding out about how Google's consideration of buying Epic to shut down our efforts to compete with the Play Store. So, wow. Yeah.
Go on, what's your wow? What's your wow for?
No, I mean, like, the cost, because obviously Epic, I mean... Yeah. Unreal Engine isn't just using games, it's using films and TV, and, you know, obviously Epic and Fortnite, and, you know, the Epic Store now. God knows how many billions that would have cost, but the fact that said, okay, well, these guys are encroaching upon our space, let's just buy them.
Well, that's the thing, because to Google, like, whatever Epic's worth is probably, like, Google loose change. Do you know what I mean? It's probably not a huge amount of money, like, on their bottom line.
Well, not only that, you just kind of think the amount of money they invested in Stadia, they would have been better off investing in Epic, really, wouldn't it? So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's a strange one, and it's sort of a glimmer of what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. That just sounds strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're threatening to Google Play, like, their own store. I don't know if they were. Are they? People are still using Google Play Store.
That's one of Epic's objectives, though, isn't it? It's to be able to have their own store, like, easily on all devices, so then they don't have to use, like, the Play Store or the App Store or whatever. You know, they want to get rid of those.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's a weird one.
It's happened before, though. I mean, Microsoft did this with, like, didn't they do it with Immersion or whatever? You know, they bought, like, the Rumble, like, people or whatever, so that then it would stop, like, court cases and stuff. You know, there's been loads of things like this in the past, I'm sure.
Yeah, they bought those Rumble people.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
I haven't heard of Rumble since, so yeah, I think it worked.
Yeah,
yeah. We had to create a whole new sense to be able to compete. Did Sony?
Who's going
to
buy?
But they're doing
haptic.
Now. They're doing all right now. Sony. They're doing all right.
Really,
those boys.
What are they doing these days?
They're selling consoles still. They're still going at it, but they're giving it a bloody good go.
Okay.
Oh yeah. You want to see the thing? It's mental.
Nah, it sounds awful.
It's actually insane.
Not going to
bother. Released.
But it's not selling as well as the Nintendo Switch. Because that shipped more than 89 million units, apparently.
Insane.
And so it's now gone past the 360 and the PS3 to become the seventh biggest
madness,
games console of all time. And they're predicting, like, Nintendo think they're on track to exceeding the Wii, which they need to sell, like, another 20 million, basically.
I mean,
and
this is going to overtake the PS2, isn't it? So is PS2 the bet? Is that the biggest selling, or is the Game Boy the biggest selling?
No,
it's the PS. The PS2 is the largest, 155 million. So they've still got quite a way to go.
Oh, is it really?
They have, but...
It's the PS.
But, you know, like, they'll release it. I mean, obviously, every month it seems to be breaking sales figures, and then we've got an OLED version, and then maybe there will be the, you know, the Switch Pro or whatever.
Yeah, so having a look, so PlayStation 2, 155 million. DS was Nintendo's... the Wii's quite low down, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the Wii.
The Wii shipped 101.63 million. Pathetic. Yeah, so just over 100 million.
Yeah.
But the PlayStation, PlayStation 4, Game Boy, and DS did better than the Wii.
Yeah.
The DS is the second most sold console, successful console, with only a million behind the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Isn't it? That's madness.
I mean, I think
Nintendo DS.
They probably could do it though. Like they could probably reach the PS2.
Oh,
if
I think definitely.
It goes on for another 5 years or so. They could probably, and they keep releasing good stuff for it, and you know. But then you start.
Well, they need to release something for it soon, because right now it's looking drab.
Well, Switch. That's the other thing, because although they've sold a lot, their sales are down from last year, and their net profit has fallen. It's 9.9%. From the same period last year, and they're putting this down to software, but also not being able, you know, not having as much on offer at the moment, which is not so good. And there's not what's coming. We've got Metroid Dread, haven't we? And then I think that's about it. By the end of the year, there's not really that much else.
I mean, that kind of does prove my point that maybe shifting the sales of the Mario All Stars into the last year's period was not what they were going for, because surely they needed that in this year's period, right?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Mario, there's also Mario Party out in September.
Okay. but it's not a new Mario Party, is it? It's an old Mario Party.
I've never played a Mario Party, and it's some holidays, and I thought, okay, well, maybe me and Eddie can play it. Good as two-player games?
Get Super Mario Party. Get Super Mario Party.
Yeah, so the one that's out currently.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 100%. That's a really good a Mario Party game.
It's a good
really
one.
Good fun.
I mean, we call it Countdown to Tears at home, because it's always...
Oh, God, yeah. There will be tears.
But those two-player games.
It's got a game mode in it, right, where you play together on the same team, two of you versus either two other people two AI.
Okay.
And me and Harry play, co-op... us two versus the two AI opponents. And it's good fun, man. We really enjoy it. It's got some nice HD Rumble stuff in there in some of the games. It's got some really fun mini games. It's got some crap ones, and it's got random moments where you just lose because it gives bonus stars to people and all that. Usual Mario Party stuff.
Yeah, it does that thing at the end.
It's got some...
When you play, can you do it? So you just play on one Joy-Con, or do you need two sets of Joy-Cons, or can one play on?
No, you just need one Joy-Con each.
No, one Joy-Con each.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah, I was like,
that's,
you know what?
That's the only way you
I'm
can play
it. And I was like, oh no, that new one's out soon, I'll just get the current one, and I think we'll enjoy that.
Yeah, get a current one, because that's more based on the system that you've got.
I just had a thought. If you get that,
I'm well up for it.
We could do a stream.
I'm well up for it. But Sean's refusing to buy it. We've suggested this
then
before.
Just leave
and
him
Sean
out.
Said, I'm not buying Mario Party.
Then just leave him out. We'll get someone else in.
He's gone now, anyway. He's gone.
Good idea.
Sean who?
Good idea.
I'll get that in, yeah. I mean, it's still 50 quid. But...
Can't you take something back to CEX? Let me do that.
You know what? Actually,
take your Switch back
and take
a set of Joy-Cons back.
It's weird. I've actually got kind of physical games in my house for the first time in ages, because I just haven't bothered going to a CEX. This is unlike me. I've got like,
what games you got?
I've got Just Dance. I've got Animal Crossing. I've got the new Skyward Sword. I've got Mario, Bowser. And I've got something else I can't remember.
Let's go through that.
Right, so you've been playing Skyward Sword.
Yes.
So you're keeping that.
Yes.
Haven't you got Ratchet and Clank?
No, I'd already sold that for something else, I think.
Okay. How far into Ratchet and Clank did you get?
The credits, you twat.
Oh, you completed it, right? I didn't know that.
Okay. We talked about it on the podcast.
I tune out. What was the other game that you said?
I just listened
to Animal Crossing.
You could probably get
a decent whack for Animal Crossing.
No, but
still,
Elodie
right?
still plays that every day.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, really?
That.
She's still playing it. We blew up our island, and we haven't really done much with it since.
I guess I could just get rid of Just Dance, but no. I'm going to buy this Animal. I'm going to buy this Mario Party, because
you won't get anything for Just Dance, Matt.
No,
no,
point.
No,
they're swimming in those copies. It's ridiculous. It's a yearly released game. So, yeah, I don't think you get much for that. But all right, good luck.
Thank you.
But I would get Mario Party. I think it's really good fun. I like it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm still supposed to be talking, aren't I?
Yep.
Which is
the story? Oh, yeah, so yeah, Switch. Yeah, I mean, so it's still a fair way off the PS2 record, right? Of, yeah, still at 90,
yeah, like 60
million or 65 million.
Yeah,
away, but,
60, 70 million. Yeah.
You know, like, when they do a Switch 2, obviously that won't count, but maybe Nintendo just to kind of take Sony's record, they'll, like Apple do with, you know, releasing a new phone and keeping the old one on offer, maybe they'll just keep the Switch on offer. I mean, because the games will be, you know, when the Switch 2 comes
that's
out.
Not really what they tend to do, though, is it? Is it?
Well, really. You just said they do.
They try to move people onto the next consoles, don't they? Because that's where they'll be releasing the new Mario Kart, Zelda. But
there's no pressure for them to do a Switch 2 at the moment, is there? I mean, they're not even going to do a Switch 2.
No, there's not. There's absolutely not. No.
But that's what's really weird, isn't it? Because normally, at this stage in a Nintendo console cycle, they're already bigging up what's coming next. But they don't need to do that because they've got like 80 million or whatever these sold.
And they got that bigger screen coming. They got that bigger screen
that's
coming,
true.
James.
Yeah, that's true. That. But normally by this stage, you're thinking, okay, all the same games are going to come out, you know, like on the next gen hardware. You know, there's going to be new versions of Mario, whatever, like that. We're not used to this situation where it's like we're still. It feels like we're still mid cycle, but they run out of stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's odd.
Yeah, although they did that for the Wii U about a year into the console's lifespan, didn't they? Where they were like, I don't know what's coming up. Anyway, welcome to E3.
God, do you remember those directs they did that were oh dear, they were so sad. It was terrible.
I know. All right, okay.
Bad times. PlayStation are reportedly going to be focusing on console-quality AAA games for the PSVR 2. And this is according to a...
Why?
I don't know.
We should say up front, Matt's staying quiet during this bit. We could say that, right,
yeah.
Matt?
I mean, I...
Can you do a disclaimer, Matt? I love it when they do that on podcasts. Go on, do it.
I'm not going to say a disclaimer. What I will say is... Everything I've seen that's rumoured sounds very interesting, doesn't it?
Okay, right, that means nothing. But and I should also say that Matt has told us nothing, which is annoying, but kind of understandable.
What's the point in telling you? I didn't want to say anything because they were like, are these stories? They were like, oh, hang on. It just be fucking pointless. Anyway, what I'm saying is, I don't even know this is real. Anything could have happened. I don't even know what this is even rumoured about. So let's move on.
Right, can I just say this, right? You know that noise you just heard, listeners? That sort of rabble of noise and bleeps and, you know, screeches that came from Matt's microphone? That's Matt being nervous. I've heard that on several occasions when he's worried about
already
something.
Already thinking if I should
and
delete
that's what
bit,
that sounds
but,
like.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Exactly. Don't delete that bit because I'll reference
all
it for the rest of the
is,
show.
Yeah, the stuff is rude.
You don't need to say anything, Matt. No. That's what you've got.
It's all right.
What,
I mean,
you're just
I'm seeing Matt on Saturday, and you know, if we have a drink, I might put up a Twitter space. You know, and just we
I'm
can have a chat about,
a thing.
About it. You know,
not,
Matt. Yeah. Matt, if he does that to you, ask him what he said on the bus because you're the only one that doesn't know. And it'll go quiet, right? Okay.
Anyway,
so go on, let's go on with the story. It's just
so anyway,
being you, James.
Okay, so this is from a YouTube channel that's called PSVR Without Parole, which I don't... Yeah.
Which is an anagram of Matt Murray. Yeah. That's weird. I've just worked that out. That's really strange. Okay, go on.
Mm-hmm. So, apparently...
They put co at the end of all their videos. That's
well, just
go on, go on,
like,
tell me more.
PSVR co...
God.
Anyway, so they say that Sony recently held a private event for potential PSVR 2 developers. I mean, when the company said that it would like to move away from VR experiences and focus on console quality AAA games. So it turns out that what they're trying to achieve is they're trying to create what they're calling these hybrid games that can be played both in VR and on standard, just like on screen. So in similar the way they say to like Hitman 3, where you can play that like optionally in VR or you can just play it on TV if you want. So the idea is
that
players will be able to download either the standard or the VR version of a game. I mean, presumably it'll be very confusing because it is at the moment for anything you download on PlayStation.
Oh, no, no. A friend of mine said that it's really straightforward. A friend of mine was saying that actually it's not quite right, all these rumours. There's some more specific details about, you know, how powerful it is. Yeah, a friend of mine was telling me this. He was saying, actually, you can actually unplug the cable and use it standalone, my friend said.
Oh, really?
That's interesting.
Yeah, apparently my friend said that he actually tried it and did it.
Presumably, you got a price as well, Dave, presumably, person.
My mate gave me a price. Don't you worry about that. £700.
And a release date? Presumably a release date as well.
Yes, my friend said that it will be the holiday season 2022. No, I'm joking. This is all a joke. It's clearly a joke. Matt's told us nothing. Right, go on. Let's hear what the rumours are. Go on.
And also, Sony have confirmed that they're going to sort of push for original PSVR games to be remastered for the new hardware. So presumably that means things like...
I mean, okay. Look, we've spoken about PSVR 2 quite a bit on this show. And it's because, you know, we had someone on the show that was very interested in VR. I mean, I still stand by what I said. I'm reading the rumours and stuff, and I'm thinking, this should not be the route they're going down. Like, you know, this could be their portable device. This could be their replacement for the PSP.
Yeah.
You know, if they bought a standalone PlayStation VR headset, that's going to raise eyebrows. That's interesting. No one wants...
Definitely, especially because you've got all those PSVR games already that are like already available. Just make them all available to play, like, you know, not on the go, but do you know what I mean? Like, without a machine. It'd be fantastic, that would.
Well, my point is this, right? An anecdotal evidence, you know, clearly it's not... There's got to be some more behind it. But if I had a PSVR and I put it on someone's head, they go away thinking, oh, that looks fun. But, you know, I haven't got a PlayStation. I'm not going to get one of these because, you know, all the cables and all that, and I'm going to have to pack it away. The amount of times I've stuck a Quest, which is subpar compared to what PSVR could do, apart from the controllers, admittedly, but in terms of the game, certainly, and in terms of visually and the power that was being put into these headsets, you put a Quest, like a Quest 1 on someone's head, and you put Vader Immortal on, and their mind is blown, and they instantly go, how much is this? How can I get...
Yeah.
I want one of these. Right, that's the reaction I've had every time someone's tried a Quest out for the first time. And I just think... Surely that... How are you not going for that market? A brilliant brand like that with a standalone headset just seems perfect to me. It's strange.
The only thing I think... Because the only thing that I think is not so bad after reading this as I thought it was going to be is this idea that if they're going to have like these hybrid games, that makes some kind of sense to me. You know, if it's going to be like this... But then also that is a bit of a worry because that means what kind of experiences are you going to get? Do you know what I mean? Is it just going to be like tacked on VR? Is it going to be even worth it? You know,
is it going to be like? I mean, I've said this before, but is it going to be like when 3D films, when you went to see a 3D film in the cinema but watched it in 2D, and it was like, oh look, we're chucking things at the screen for no reason in this scene. No, why are we doing this? Oh yeah, because you made it for a 3D screen.
That man's
screen,
pointing. Why? Oh, that would be brilliant in 3D.
Yeah. Oh, the rockets come straight at the lens.
The spears are going into the camera. I don't know.
You're supposed to be quiet, Matt.
Sorry,
right?
I couldn't help myself.
Talking yourself into trouble here.
But anyway,
I know. Like, look, the hybrid game thing sounds great, right? And I get it. But at the same time, if you're not shifting the headsets, the hybrid game thing is stupid.
Yeah, and no one's going to.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the other thing about this is that the hardware side of things does look like very good, like in terms of like very powerful, like much more high-end than the current PSVR is, which means that it's probably going to be about the same price as a PS5. And I just can't see people going for that, like paying like 400 or 500 like quid or whatever just for that. I just can't see it. It's just too much.
I hope I'm wrong because, I mean, it'd be cool if VR took off a little bit more. But, you know, as I said, I've done a lot of VR, PSVR, I've done a lot of Quest stuff, and my favourite experience is PokerStars VR, where you literally sit around a table, like pointing at each other, or Bridge Crew, which was just hilarious while we were playing that. So, you know, it's not necessarily down to the power that sort of captures my excitement for VR. It's down to software, and the software doesn't have to be incredibly looking for it to be exciting and something that I want to spend my time and money on, you know?
Well, apparently this is going to launch in early 2022, so I guess we'll find out probably more before then.
Well, did a friend tell you that?
Yeah.
No, that's not quite what this piece says, James.
What?
Well, this IGN thing, it doesn't say it's going to launch early 2022.
It does.
What does it say,
no,
Matt?
It says that, well, this YouTube channel claims that Sony will reveal launch details in early 2022.
Oh, James.
It says PSVR without parole claims that Sony will reveal launch details in... Yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah.
Just rereading the words.
Oh, did a friend make you think something different, James? That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if IGN are listening, but get your pens out. Get your pen and paper out. Right, okay, are we done? It's so frustrating because... Okay. We've got the inside scoop and we're not allowed to use it. Right. Okay. Should we get on to what you've been playing this week? Is that it for the news?
There's no rumours. There's still no rumours.
There's no Farley Fantasies.
I'm not going to do it unless there's...
We haven't used it since.
I'm not doing it unless there's something worth bringing to it. Otherwise, it's a waste.
I agree with that, but you can't be mad at me for being disappointed that we're not
going into Farley Fantasies. No, it's fine. I totally understand that, because I'd love there to be something interesting to put in there, but there really hasn't been anything.
I'd love there to be something interesting.
You know, I'm not going to...
That's a shame. And we should highlight that the MP3 is now available on the website for James Farley's jingle.
Yes.
So please get that, download it, play it places, record it and send it to us on Twitter, TCGSCo on Twitter.
Yeah.
Make sure you send us your videos and clips. Play it down the phone to someone on the radio. Put it over the speakers in the local Sainsbury's.
Have it played
all
at
that.
Someone's
we
funeral.
We want this played everywhere.
You know, please. Go to tcgs.co/Farley's-fantasy-zone or just look on our Twitter account at TCGSCo. There's a tweet a few days ago. But yeah, it's on there on the website.
Do you reckon we could play that at James's funeral?
Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
As he's going down.
I mean, that will be a fantasy zone. As he's going down. Like when that happens.
Farley's fantasy zone as the curtains are closing. Yeah. But then you hear the sirens and people are like, fucking hell, we're getting raided.
James, can you make like a 10-minute funeral mix?
I could do that, yeah. That would be a problem.
Yeah. Good.
Cool. All right, what have you been playing? Matt Murray, let's go.
I thought I'd have loads of time to play stuff this week, but no, it turns out a lot in the last few days, but no, not the case. I haven't even gone back to Death's Door, which I desperately wanted to do. I have played a bit of Last Stop, which I'm really enjoying.
I finished this last night.
You finished it last night, did you?
I did, yeah. I did. Okay. Well, how far into it are you?
I've only done the first set of chapters, so...
Okay. It gets way better.
How many chapters are there?
Six.
Okay, cool.
Six and a final chapter, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So seven, but it's not called chapter seven, so yeah.
So I've only done the first set of three chapters, one for each of the characters, but I'm really enjoying it, but... I've got some issues. So I love the fact, you know, I love the fact that the dialogue, obviously it's incredibly British and, you know, fact set in London. I love that. I think what they've done to really ground it, set in London, they've clearly done all the homework, all the research. It looks and feels and sounds like London. I love that. I think the dialogue works really well. It feels really genuine and yeah, I just like it. Even the little kid, like 5-year-old, like sounds like a genuine 5-year-old. I think all that's great. But I feel it really like lacks the stuff that I loved about their previous game, what was their previous game called again?
The weird symbols. Virginia symbols that made no sense.
Well, no, not that, but it definitely had a definite vibe. It feels like it doesn't have a vibe, at least yet. Maybe that will change with story progression and whatnot.
Oh, it totally has a vibe. The tone of it is... I mean, the three stories are very different tonally.
The three stories are different tonally, but
I think I know what you mean, Matt. This isn't like a sort of David Lynch kind of thing. As in, it's not like or like Control or something like that.
That last thing didn't make sense.
It's not like Virginia. Virginia was weird, and it's like, okay, what is this? It wasn't even about the mystery. It just had a vibe, a sense, a tone. It was like different and weird, and you know, and then combine that with the cuts. It's like, okay, that's why I like the game, and I did like the weird story and so on and so forth. But it had a vibe. This Maybe it's the fact that it's kind of set in London that it just feels much more grounded, and maybe it's not that.
The writing is definitely more straightforward. It's definitely more grounded. I think, you know, the stories themselves, although they're ordinary people in wacky situations, they are ordinary people and they react in an ordinary way. Whereas Virginia was just totally bizarre. It really didn't click with me at all. What they were going for was just not what I was looking for. But this is a completely different tone. It's a completely different thing that they're going for. And I think it succeeds in a lot of ways, this. The further you get into it, Matt, there's a chapter that I spoke to James about as I was playing it that I absolutely adored. And it was my favourite story. So James had his favourite story was the one about the person that was working at the military base, right, James?
Yeah.
That was my least favourite, actually.
Really? You didn't like that one?
Yeah,
I like that one.
No, I liked it. I liked all three stories up until a point. But the my favourite by far was the body swapping story. Yeah. I just love the characters. I love the way they talk to each other. I love the reactions of everyone around them. Some of the scenes in it were just cartoons, and that was funny. There's one particular, I think it's chapter 3, where they're planning something, basically. There's a scene where they're planning something, and it is so beautifully done. I've never seen it done in a video game like that before, and it is perfect. And, I think I mentioned last week that it does something I couldn't quite put my finger on, this week I worked out was the pacing. It absolutely nails the pacing. I love Life is Strange and I love The Walking Dead, the first series, because that's the only series that I played, but I love those games. And although they're different because they're more sort of branching storylines and this is way more straightforward, I think when I played those games, I never enjoyed the bits where you would have a conversation and then you would look around for a long time, or you would go and solve a puzzle for a long time and then the story can continue, because it felt like it was breaking things up. And during those moments, there was a few times where I was thinking, okay, let's just get to the next bit. Let's finish this bit off and get to the next bit. Whereas here, it's got none of that. It is literally just the dialogue. There's a few little mini games and stuff, and I think that really worked. If you combined the pacing of this with the moral choices and branching storylines of, say, Life is Strange, I think you would have something special. You know what I mean? I really do. So I think it nails more than Virginia did in this. But I can see why you would be a little bit disappointed that it didn't go down the surreal path. I mean, it does eventually.
Yeah, don't say anything.
But not to the level that Virginia does, you know.
That's why I said, like, to you when you started playing it, I was like, you know, it goes places towards the end, but not like in a Virginia way. Like, it's still coherent, I thought. Although, I mean, it's interesting, like you're saying, so you preferred the other two stories, yeah? Like they were the preferred ones.
I genuinely enjoyed all three of them. Genuinely, so it sounds a bit harsh for me to say I didn't enjoy the one that you liked the most, but I think it was my least favorite out of the three. I was least invested in that one out of the three.
The third one was I really found very interesting, but it's also the one that I thought had the worst payoff at the end.
None of the payoffs really worked for me.
No, not really. But that one in particular, though, I felt really didn't. I don't know where they were going.
I agree. Yeah, it was too strange without enough explanation. Yeah, but the I agree with that totally. But honestly, the whole way that it ties everything together, and again we'll talk around it, I thought was pretty bad. I was cringing quite a bit, and I just thought this isn't what I've been enjoying about. I think that's it. I was enjoying the game so much up to that point, and I was like, this is totally against the reasons I was enjoying this game.
But it's also because it's like you didn't really need to go here. Like you didn't really need
really
to do
didn't.
This.
If nothing happens like, there, know. Really.
No, not at all. And also, it doesn't make any sense. And also, like the logic of the game doesn't work in that with it either. Yep. Like with the environment you're in, it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, which, it really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Which is a shame.
And I thought if you'd have spent the time focusing on the conclusion of each story rather than explaining the reason behind things, I thought that would have been a much more satisfying end. But, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't like Virginia. I did like Last Stop. I can see them making progress, and I'm excited to see what they come out with next. Whereas if you'd have told me, are you looking forward to the Virginia devs' next game, I'd probably say no. But now you're telling me, are you looking forward to Last Stop's devs' next game, I'll go, yeah, let's see what they've got in store for us next, because I think it'd be interesting. Also, I don't know if you thought this, Matt, but I thought the voice acting was superb in this. Like, really good.
I thought it was been really good so far in the chapters I played. I think it's felt natural. Yeah. It like the pacing, just like technically how it worked compared to even some of like the stilted scenes we've seen in Last of Us and Life is Strange and also Walking Dead. It just feels like it flows really nice and well, and it feels natural and real in a way that others haven't. Cool. No, okay, fine.
I mean, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
One thing I'm not also a big fan of for this game is, I don't see what the point is of the bits where we have to control where the character walks.
It's weird, yeah. That, isn't it?
That's yeah. Not, so it's the not camera, needed. The camera it's not controls added. I'm not like, oh, great, I'm pressing up, and then the camera's changed, and I'm now pressing left. Like, there's no enjoyment. There's no benefit. I would rather just like put a controller down and that person walks, because I'm actually think those bits are really nicely done, like where they're having two characters or two or more characters are having a conversation and they're walking, you know, through town, you know, to or from a tube station or whatever they're doing. I think that's really, really nicely done. It's like a nice kind of change of pace, and it just has like a nice feeling. But I don't see what the point is of me of giving the player control over that bit. It's like, it doesn't benefit me.
Well, no, because I'm sure that they did that because there's so little interaction in general anyway that's
yeah, they
all
felt
they
needed
you, really.
To give you some sort there of control, be, but
I guess,
yeah. It doesn't really work because the amount of times you sort of just wander in the wrong direction and then realise that you have to go, oh, I need to go this way. So it just makes the scene look strange.
It breaks immersion. Like, there's one, I think, it's the story where you're the guy who's got a young daughter who does, you know, he has the body swap. There's a bit where you meet someone from work after work maybe, and you're having a chat with her. And yeah. I didn't. And basically, you're going. Oh, no. Sorry, this must be before work, and you're walking to work with this person. And yeah. I didn't know where work was, obviously. But you walk down the road, and then suddenly I'm like, okay, well, I assume I'm going into this building here. And like the woman you're with, she like walks on. And then kind of like sort of walk back because yeah. I quickly changed direction and went and walked in this doorway. It just breaks immersion. It's not needed.
And the amount of times there's like a panning shot of a street or whatever, but you're sitting there and you're going, well, is this just an establishing shot? Because there's a few of those. But then you notice two people just standing still in the corner and you're like, oh, right. Oh, no, I'm controlling them. Okay, fine.
I mean, there's one bit, I think it must be the same guy where like there's a, you know, the camera angle changes and just before the camera angle changed, there's like a crossing over the road and I'm like, I wonder if I go there. And then the camera angle changed and I couldn't see my character on screen. And I was like, I assume I just have to press left and I cross the road now. I mean, I do love that kind of stuff because that stuff isn't really in these kinds of games often.
Yeah, and it looks great. You know,
I love the fact that the camera angle changes and that's like, it's just like a nice feeling. It's done well. But then I just don't need to be able to control the game.
There's got to be a better way of doing it. Yeah.
I'll happily put my control down. I don't, if the only control in this game is me selecting dialogue choices, then, or maybe in like a certain specific area, I'm happy to move around, you know, but those panning shots just, you know, take the control away from me. I don't need it. It doesn't benefit me or anyone.
I'll tell you the other thing that made me laugh a lot was the dialogue choices where you'd be talking to someone and on the left side of your dialogue choice, it would say, I'm bored of this conversation. And on the right side of the dialogue, it would say, I'm going home. And you're like, what should I do? I'll pick I'm going home. And then the character will say, I'm bored of this conversation. I'm going home.
Well, that was, all right, okay, that was fine. my That was one of the major complaints with the game, though, was that it just feels like it doesn't really matter what you choose, like, no, for the things,
but
because
when it's that
you still get the
with
same.
It was like, okay, yeah, right, I could have picked either of these and they would have said the same thing. It made me laugh a lot. It doesn't do that throughout, and there are some moral choices in the game. You know, they're very, no, don't look forward to them.
So are there different endings?
No, there's only one ending. There's not multiple endings, I don't think.
That's not true.
Is it not true? I thought it was. No. I thought there was only one ending.
Well, no, because you. We'll talk afterwards.
This is good. So it's
How
not
did you
linear
think
story.
That? No, it's
what
a very
mean,
linear
think
story.
That? It's a very, very linear story. I didn't think that there was really like massively different endings you could get.
Well, not massively different, but there are different endings for each character.
Well, yeah, but they're not. Okay, yeah, but are those endings changed by decisions you make?
Yes.
Right, okay. Okay, we'll talk about it afterwards, because I didn't think that the changes were that big, you know, like between each character.
They're not
so,
massive,
okay.
No, but they are different endings depending on what... Okay,
well, yeah,
right,
there's, I can think one of them I can think of specifically. Yeah, okay. I know what you mean. Yeah, but it's not huge. It's not like big, like massive changes, though, is it?
Okay, we'll talk at the end. I don't want to spoil anything, but that's... Anything else on Last Stop, Matt?
No, I'm looking forward to going back to it. I just haven't had enough time. But no, I'm glad you mentioned it, James, because I know I'd heard people talk about it and I saw some tweets and stuff. But after you guys talking about it, I'm glad I downloaded it. We all enjoy the Life is Strange games, but this feels like it's just doing things in a different style, which is great to see, because I love these types of games. It feels like it's really only kind of Life is Strange devs that are really doing stuff at the moment. Telltale's kind of stopped, so it's great to see someone else doing it and doing it in a different way.
Okay, so I'll go next. I'll do a brief mention of Death's Door, because you know it's the game I've been playing most this week still, even though I've completed it. There are a set number of things that you can do after you've completed the game. I have done everything, absolutely everything. I've found everything.
That's mad.
Done everything. It just become a zone out game, you know. I suppose it was like Spider-Man. A few of the things that it asks you to do are a bit dull and boring, but it gives you enough to go on to actually do that stuff without it being too crazy, you know. It gives you enough hints and clues and stuff like that, and some of the stuff it asks you to do is absolutely fantastic, and I really do recommend checking out some of the further boss fights in that. It's it's pretty good fun. I don't think it ever gets as hard as the main game. I think the main game gets harder than any of the extra content at the end of it, like the end game stuff, but it still gets, there's still that challenge there, and it used to excite me. It excited me when I got to the point where I was like, I haven't been in this area and this is a hard fight, brilliant, let's get stuck in. And then, you know, collecting stuff can become a bit of a chore, but it become one of those things where I just zone out and stick it on and just keep going and checking things off my list. The one problem that I have is that I can't see, I'm on 98% complete because I haven't seen the final ending of the game. And when I tweeted about it, the dev got in touch and said, yeah, that's a bug. We're hoping to fix that in a patch. So I haven't seen the true ending of the game yet, even though I've done absolutely everything. And if I'm right, and I think I am, you don't have to do absolutely everything to see that true ending. You just have to do the tasks that you need to do after the credits. You don't have to find everything and look for everything and unlock everything. It's literally just...
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's literally just a few tasks that you need to do before you can go and see the final ending. But for some reason, the game hasn't recognised that I've done one of the tasks, and I definitely have. And I'm absolutely gutted that I can't see that. I tried everything.
Is there like a final boss to do after that? Or is it really just
collecting
everything?
I don't know, because I didn't want to look it up. I know where I need to go, but I don't know what's behind the place that I need to go to. So I've got no idea what that final ending is. I'm sure it'd be great because the whole game's been great. Have I uninstalled and reinstalled it? Yes.
No. Did you say it was getting patched? Is it getting patched?
Right. Okay. So the dev said they seemed surprised by my error, but also said that it might be down to a glitch or a bug that was patched on the Windows version but hasn't been patched on the Xbox version yet. But they're hoping that an Xbox patch will be coming this week. So hopefully that comes out, it fixes everything, and I can finally complete that game. I'll be a bit sad when I do, though, because I've enjoyed it so much. Like, it's been such a joy to go through. I'll be a bit gutted when it's gone. But my word, yeah, I love it. I love it. Just such a shame that I can't see the ultimate ending to that game yet. It's killing me. It's killing me. I don't want to watch it on YouTube. I want to actually see it and experience it. So I'm a bit sad. Have you not done any of the in-game stuff yet, James?
No, I've not touched anything like yet. I mean, I probably will.
That's unlike you.
I'm going through a weird moment with games at the moment, and I just didn't feel like it at the moment, but I'll probably go back.
It's very doable. I mean, it seems really intimidating when you look at one of the tasks that you need to do. But actually, as I say, if you pick up the right things, then it becomes a lot easier. There's still a couple of things that you kind of think, oh, what? I'm going to have to do that. But actually, most of the stuff that it's asking you to do is on the main path anyway. I mean, I love Death's Door. If you've not played it and for some reason haven't downloaded it based on everything we've said about it over the past 3 weeks, then definitely go and get it, because it's an absolute winner of a video game. So I've been playing that, and I also very briefly tried Back for Blood with the open beta or the closed beta.
I want to hear about this. Involved in that this weekend. So
how many?
Massively popular. Over 100,000 people, they said.
Okay.
Massively popular. Saw loads of people on Twitch playing it.
So yeah, I mean, now just full disclosure, I played this last night. I did 3 sections of a level. Now, if you remember Left 4 Dead, for example, one level was broken down into 4 sections, with the end being like the sort of big boss battle. They were broken up with safe rooms that you get into, and then you could heal up and reload your ammo and all that sort of stuff, and then you open the safe door and started the next part. I know it sounds stupid, but I was surprised by how much it feels like Left 4 Dead. Like, the shotguns all feel right, all the weapons feel right, the enemies all feel very similar. There's a few sort of what I would say sort of cheap replacements. So instead of setting cars off by accident and stuff and calling a horde towards you or whatever, it's just crows everywhere, just like little groups of crows. And I hope, you know, there's more to it than that when it comes to the game coming out. But at the moment, the level that I've been on, it's just been crows. They've added this card system, which completely baffled me. And that might be on me because I didn't read everything. I just wanted to get in the game and start shooting zombies. But I looked at the cards and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I don't know if I've got them selected or whatever.
That's what I've read. Because, like, I mean, I was reading just on, like, Romwalk and stuff, like, people's, like, responses to it. And somebody just said, like, you know, the card system feels unnecessary. And just can't really see what it's adding to the game.
I wouldn't say, I mean, I don't know, it's way too early to say if it's unnecessary or not, because this is a closed beta, and we don't really know the systems, and, you know, that stuff could be more in-game stuff focused. I don't really know how well the system of the, you know, collecting cards, and what it is that you spawn into a camp. So in this, whereas before, you would load into a menu, you'd party up with, this is on Left 4 Dead, you'd party up with people, you'd select a campaign and you'd go, right? In this one, there's a hub area where you can purchase things, you can buy upgrades to your weapons, you can buy these cards, and you create a stack of cards and you can use them for various things. Games these days need more than that. And I think we've got to understand it. If it was just menus, let's launch into a campaign, I think people will feel that they need more than just those 4 campaigns. That was fine back in the Xbox 360 game days, where, you know, online play on consoles was still a pretty new thing. But, you know, we've now had Fortnite, all of these season passes. We've had games like Dead by Daylight that has shown that you can have longevity and an audience if you put the right mix of, you know, gameplay and the sort of elements and upgrades around it. Because that's what keeps people playing Dead by Daylight. And that is a dead simple game. That is definitely the game they've been looking at to say, right, how do we give this legs? How do we keep people playing this game? So you can see why they're doing this stuff. And saying it's unnecessary, I don't necessarily agree, because I think in this day and age, you need something a little bit more for players to cling on to. But whereas before, it was just like, let's do that one again. The other issue that I had is that, I mean, I think we just set the difficulty setting way too low last night when we played it, because it had none of the drama that Left 4 Dead offers. You know, we had no moments where it was like, I've just been hit by a hunter and I can't get up, you need to save me.
Really?
There's a tank coming. Yeah, it had none of that, but I am almost certain that it's because we went in at too easy difficulty setting. It was just, we were blasting through everything. There was a main boss and we took it down in seconds. There was tank equivalents. If you remember the tank, they would bust through walls and run at you and charge at you and stuff like that. There was a character like that, but it was one shot. It was one grenade and it blew up, you know, that sort of stuff. So I think we just had it on a really easy setting. But there's part of me is like, I've got to give it more time to decide whether I'm going to go for this. But at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, I don't want to play through this in a beta. I want to actually wait for the game to come out and experience it.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming to Game Pass, so it's just...
I think we're going to do that. And I think, again, that's another one that we might have to look at for a stream, because, you know, if it's anywhere close to what Left 4 Dead did, then, yeah, that'd be great. I'm a little bit concerned about the characters, because the characters in Left 4 Dead were so good and it was such a big part of it, hearing them talk to each other and all that sort of stuff. Whereas these ones seem a little bit more generic, not enough personality in each one. But again, this is based on...
It's early days though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's based on three little portions of one mission that we did. So it's not a fair shake of it. But I'm definitely going to try it when it fully releases. I just don't know.
Is the beta still going?
I think tonight's the last night. But I think they're going to be doing more betas in the future. So so keep your eye out. But it's still in the balance for me, this one. It's still, it could go either way. But I'd rather wait until the game's out before I find out which way it's going to go. I will say this, though, and this is mad. I played that game last night, non-inverted. I've been playing video games for a long time. And I started playing it with inverted on. And I was like, why do I keep looking down when I'm trying to look up? And I think it's down to a Microsoft Flight Simulator, because I still haven't found a way of inverting the camera when the camera's behind the aeroplane. So I've forced myself to control the camera by up is up and down is down. And then, so I switched to non-inverted on Back 4 Blood, and I was like, oh my god, I'm not doing that anymore. Maybe I'm not inverted anymore. And what a weird way to change how you've been playing video games for 20 years. Like, seriously. I mean, if you'd have told me, David, you won't invert. 2021, you won't be inverting. Oh no, what game made me change that? Microsoft Flight Simulator. That's the game that made you change that.
I mean, I was like, I don't think we can play games together anymore, Dave. This is shocking and disgusting, to be honest.
Why?
It's just...
Who are you?
I'm joking, Dave.
Make me sick.
You've really upset me there, actually. No, here's what's weird, James, is that, like, usually I'm with you. I've always inverted, right? But there's a couple of things. First of all, it's a fucking pain in the ass to invert. It's awful.
No, it's not. You just press start and go to options and just change it.
No, not with, like, when you go to like an expo or whatever. It's just, okay, well, yeah, press then start. It's where's
this
the
is
option?
Exactly why
there
I changed,
it is.
Yeah.
Let's go here. Is it under gameplay? Is it under controls? Is it under, what is it under? You've got to change it. Have I come out of the menu in the right way, where it's recognised it, or have I just pressed B and it just doesn't save that option? It's just, my brain's going crazy. Is it the X axis or the Y axis? It's always a pain in the ass for me. Or if you're, you know, like Harry, I'm trying to teach Harry to play non-inverted, and he's playing Minecraft a lot, non-inverted. Because I don't want him to go through what I'm going through, James. And
My kids are the same. They don't play inverted either, because I thought about it and then I just thought, it's not worth it, is it?
No, you've like, absolutely got to like make that change. I mean,
so when they hand you the pad, isn't it just really frustrating, James?
I just press start and then just change it.
Oh no,
and then I have a go at them and just say this is messed up.
Just learn the other way.
Yeah, I need to do that. You did that yourself, didn't you,
mate? Yeah, I did
you
that changed. Because exactly. I think it's actually the funny thing was it was Left 4 Dead 2 that did it. I remember playing Left 4 Dead 2 at an expo, some early EGX, and I remember queuing for ages. And then when I got there, I didn't have to spend like 5 minutes changing the settings, and then I felt bad for the person behind me. So I just felt like, you know,
it's, oh, I just can't do it. The well, thought of it well, makes no, me feel
it's,
sick.
It's doable. I don't know what game I eventually did it on, but I did it, and then it was like, wow, I don't have to change the setting every time. If I'm an expo, yep. I can just grab a pad and play without, as Dave said, going into settings, etc. It's just, well, you can do it, you can change it.
Do you remember, like, I told you the story, right? At GameStars Live, this was before EGX even existed.
Live.
Halo 2 was being demoed, like, months before it came out. You could play Halo 2 multiplayer. I was so excited. I queued up for 3.5 hours to play one multiplayer game of Halo 2. And when I got to the front, I pressed start to change to inverted, and the staff come over and said, no, no, you can't. You're not allowed to do that. We're launching now. You can't change the settings. And it just was rubbish because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't shoot. I was looking at the floor 90% of the time. I was absolutely gutted. I don't want to do that no more, James. I don't want to do
but
it
it's
no
just,
more.
It's just,
they've won,
for me,
James.
I just think, I don't care. No, I'm just thinking, for the off chance that I might play a game at an expo, it's not worth it.
James,
like, I just
won.
Can't do it. I don't
the
care.
The non-inverters have won.
I'm drawing a line here. I'm not doing it. That
I
is
used
ridiculous.
To fight
James,
the fight.
It's also for you. It'll make it easier for you. You won't have to go in every time, every game, and change things.
No, I'm quite happy to do that. I just can't. The thought of playing like a first-person shooter, not inverted, makes me feel ill. Like, I just can't imagine how that would work. I just don't like it.
For me, the whole inverted thing started when I was playing like Turok and GoldenEye using the N64 pad and using the C.
Yeah, because it was inverted.
Yeah,
as default,
I was using the C buttons and the smaller C buttons as. Forward, back, left, strafe
or bringing
stuff.
Or bringing up the crosshair. When you used to hold, what was it, R on the N64 pad for GoldenEye, bring up a crosshair for precision aiming. And that was inverted. Mm. So that's what did it for me.
Yeah, but because I was using the C buttons for movement and then the stick for looking around, and just like that was just how I, how I played it.
Same.
You can retrain your brain.
I used to argue and argue, and I was bitter and whatever. But Microsoft Flight Simulator has changed me, James.
But I inverted that as well. I don't understand what the problem is with that.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. Like when I went to the settings, it already said, "Yeah, you're inverted." And then I went to the game,
and
it was like, "No,
you're not." That's a game where being inverted makes even more sense. It's a fucking flight simulator.
Yeah, I mean, I played Flight Simulator using regular controls, whereby. It's inverted because that's what you're doing.
Oh, look, can we stop talking about this? It's making me feel really depressed.
Why?
Can we just stop? Because it's just weird. It's just weird. I don't know you people anymore. Can we just move on?
I'm still the same person.
We're still the same person, James. But I think we might be better people now.
Yes. Whereas James is happy to waste his life in his little menus.
It's fine. I know what's right.
Well, what have you been playing, James?
You know what's left.
I played two things this week, but hardly at all because we're moving and stuff, and it's just I've been busy doing things.
Moving sucks. Sucks, doesn't it? Everyone says it.
It's horrible.
It's true. Yeah. It's
I'm surrounded by boxes at the moment, and it's annoying.
I mean,
but,
name one thing worse than moving.
I can name several things worse than moving Matt.
Okay, forget it. You know, something that people have to do, forget it. It's terrible.
No, go on.
No, because
like
I was going to say, like, apart from people dying and terrorism and diseases.
We asked 100 people, what's worse than moving? Having a vasectomy. Well, we're having to sort of our survey says.
No, moving's worse than a vasectomy.
That's why it went. That noise means. Have you ever seen Family Fortunes, Matt?
Yes, I love Vernon K.
Well, that's how it works. I was more of a Les Dennis man myself.
Yeah, so was I. I picked that shitty Les reference Dennis, on purpose. Les Dennis for life, boy.
Right, I'm James. So addicted to games. Oh my God.
That sounds nothing like Les Dennis. James.
So anyway, I've played two things. What do you want to hear about first? I've got The Great Ace Attorney and A Plague Tale Innocence.
Why are you leaving that to us? Why do we don't do that to you?
You direct that.
I know, because I don't care. Just which one?
I don't care. James, you've given up on the podcast, haven't you?
No, it's not true. No, what I mean is I don't care which one I talk about first. That's why I thought I'd give you the chance to make a choice. You know?
Okay, we don't care. Over to you. Kai, this is like podcast
tennis.
Stick
that in your pipe.
In that case, I will talk about them in order if I've got them written down here. So I'm going to talk about...
Are you really going to start with The Great Ace Attorney?
Why are you starting with that? Why, James? Yeah. That's clear. Okay, fine.
So anyway, I got The Great Ace Attorney about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, but I've barely touched it, and I haven't really had the chance to play it that much.
Is that the title or your opinion?
Like, it's called, it is called The Great Ace Attorney.
So what is it?
This is the double pack.
What is it? Please don't tell me it's the games that you've already played every year for the past 20 years. Go on.
No, I've never played these because these have not been released before in the West. These are ones which have just come out and they've
spruced
them up.
You didn't get them on your R4 card or whatever it was.
I didn't know. Well, they were in Japanese as well. Like I think they were fan translations, but yeah, these are redone, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, the R4, that takes me back. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
I know. Yeah, good time.
I didn't have one, but I do remember people talking about them.
You just buy them on Amazon. Yeah, go on, just stick them on. Yeah, we'll just send them to your house. Yeah, go on.
So this is set at the end of the 19th century, as opposed to the newer ones, which are set in sort of more modern times. And it's set at the point where it's Britain and Japan, and they've signed like this friendship agreement. So it's Victorian Britain and Meiji Japan. And you play as like an ancestor of Phoenix Wright, who's an English language student, who's Japanese, obviously, who gets accused of murder in the first trial, because that happens in quite a lot of the Phoenix Wright games.
How many generations from Ace Attorney?
I don't know, many. Because this is like 100 years. Like, it's 100 years before Ace Attorney, I guess.
So Ace Attorney was set in what? I would say the 90s, right?
No, later than that. I think, wasn't it like 2000s? I'm not sure. No, it must be 90s, because that's when the first one came out on
Game Boy. Is it portraying here?
Well, this is past. This is portraying the past, not the future.
Oh, right, ancestor.
18th century.
that's why
not
I said,
the future, is it? That's in the 18th century.
That's why, Dave, that's why I said ancestor. And I also said 19th century.
I know. I fucked up.
James, just answer the question.
Up.
What's the future like in the 19th century?
Go on.
Yeah. So yeah, you play the part of not Phoenix Wright, but another character who is one of
his great grandson.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, and he's put on trial in the first, the first case for murder. But what's interesting about it is, it plays up this whole thing of like the British Empire and Japan signing this friendship treaty, and how they're sort of building their relationship. But Britain, like the British Empire at this stage, is like at its sort of zenith, and the way that the UK people, like the British people, are treating others is really bad. Like the way that the British witnesses treat the Japanese, absolutely the bad guys, yeah. And, treat them, like, with sort of contempt and, disrespect and that kind of thing. Because it's the high time of empire, when it was really bad, for that kind of stuff. And so I'm quite interested to see where they go with that, because it's the whole first trial is mostly, focuses on that sort of aspect, which is quite interesting. But, as I said, I've only just got into the second case with it, and I've got some issues. I mean, I'm interested in the setting. The characters so far seem fine, but at the moment, the thing I'm not enjoying about it quite so much is that, Dave, how many of these have you actually played? You've only ever played the first one, haven't you?
No, I played the first three, I think.
Okay.
But before we go in the beginning, we had Ace Attorney, then we had Justice for All, is that right? So I played those two. And then didn't they re-release one with an extra bit at the end after that?
No, that was the first game. So the first game they re-released
was that with the 3D bit at the end of it. Then Justice for All. What was the third one?
Yeah. I've forgotten the name. Was it Justice for All was the third one? It's Trials and Tribulations. That's it, Trials and Tribulations.
I played that one as well. Yeah, I've played three of them, I'm sure of it.
So you know how in the beginning of each of those games, they always do like a whole...
Don't piss out yourself because it ruins it for everyone.
Fucking hell, James.
Yeah, okay, I won't do that again, sorry.
It's all right.
But you know how they always like explain to you how the game works? And they like go through like how you have to like, you know, go through the evidence and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And they show you all the systems, you know, and how it works. It's quite annoying in this, I found, because maybe it's because I played so many of these and I have played them many, many times. But I found in this one the instructions for it particularly irritating because the dialogue in this is a lot less snappy, I found, than in the previous games. And so it felt like all the explanations were really like overly long, like throughout the like the first case. Like the first case is feels like the longest first case I've ever played in like a Phoenix Wright game. It went on for ages, and it was all like sort of going all over the place. It felt more like a like case 3 or case 4 in like some of the other games. So I was a bit disappointed with that because you're taught how the systems work, but it's annoying and it goes on for too long. And I just wish that they'd sort of like take the training wheels or whatever off like earlier on, or you had an option of saying, I've played these games before, I kind of know what's going on here. Like, can you just let me play it rather than?
Yeah, but then that doesn't. I mean, the way the tutorial stuff worked was that it does it within the first trial, right? Like the first trial's the tutorial, right? If they just drop that, then aren't you just missing a big chunk of the story?
Potentially, but then they did that very well in the previous games, where they explain things, but not exhaustively. Whereas in this, it feels much more exhaustive in the way they explain it. And they're still explaining it in the second case as well. That is,
it's a game where you go and point on things and then you get into a trial and still bring the right evidence up.
There is that, but then they are introducing new systems as well, I believe, although I haven't come across any yet. But there are definitely new systems that they introduce later on, which they will need to explain.
They should do the FIFA thing where you said, I've never played a football game before, I've played a football game, and it's like, hey, God, I've never played Ace Attorney, I've played the odd one, I replay them every fucking year because I'm an idiot. Oh yeah, I'll choose that last one.
I'm James
Farley. Basically, I want to choose world class, and then so I can like play it. But that's the only thing that's irritating me slightly at the moment. I'm interested in the setting and where they're going with the whole like British Empire stuff.
Maybe they could change the title of the game on the main menu depending on what difficulty setting you've chosen at the start. It could be that I'm world class Ace Attorney, the beginner Ace Attorney, Ace Attorney.
Legendary Ace Attorney.
Semi-pro.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, and he just doesn't have a tie in any of the scenes. Yeah. And he accidentally says a different word instead of objection every now and then.
Oi, no semi-professionals.
But yeah. you can also tell that it's definitely rigged and it's like, you know, going in a certain direction, you know.
Stick to the FIFA analogy there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But no, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing some more, but as I said, I've not really played enough to really like say much about it apart from it looks nice. It's another Ace Attorney game, which is good, and it's one I've never played, so I'm quite excited to get further into it. The only other thing I've played is A Plague Tale: Innocence, which I started last night, and I got up to chapter 3 last night when I was playing it, and it's all right.
Okay. What? Just review what you said then. I was playing this game last night, and I got up to chapter 3 last night when I was playing it. I mean, Matt, James, about this.
I mean, the character animation isn't great, is it? But it seems fine.
I don't remember that being an issue.
This is going to get nasty, I think. Because
can you tell me, Matt? Can you tell me why this game's good?
Oh no, this is going to get nasty.
First of all, James, you're a prick.
To be clear, listeners, Matt played this game and he's a big fan of it, and it's not something that you regularly bring up, but when it does come up, you mention about how much you loved that game. And James is a cynic, so I know he went into this going, okay then, come on, let's see why this is the best game ever made then, come on. I know that that's how James sat down, and the animation's not quite right there. I'm going to write that down and bring that up to Matt tomorrow. Yeah, I know that's how you think, James. So I'm just going to sit back now. Actually, you have your little discussion about A Plague Tale.
I'm going to continue playing this, and I'm looking forward to playing more of it. I'd just like to know what's good about it. Can you tell me, Matt?
A bunch of things, really. I mean, I think the story is really interesting. I think the relationship between the two, the sister and the brother, develops really, really well. At first, they're a bit standoffish because they haven't really spent any time together, even though they're brother and sister. And then that changes, and you can see like a real kind of connection between them two. And that works out in just not just a story, but incidental dialogue that you see. Like if you see things in the environment, even that starts to change to show a bit more affection. And also, I mean, this isn't really something you should be judging games on, but the fact was that it's like an indie studio that's kind of definitely punching above its weight and doing the kind of things that you see in the Uncharted games and, you know, those kinds of games from Naughty Dog. Yet it's just, you know, a double A game, not expected to do much. And I was really impressed with that. I liked the puzzle mechanics and stuff you can do with the light and the rats. It's not terribly complicated, but it's nice. I think the setting's really interesting. And it's just an incredibly impressive game overall.
When do the rats turn up? Because that's what I was interested
exactly.
in.
I know it's not right at the beginning, but it can't be far from...
James sitting down and going, come on, where are these fucking rats in?
It's maybe the rat game, isn't it?
No rats. Oh... All Matt was talking about I'm expecting rats.
The rats. Yeah. Sarah mentioned this when she played it. Like it wasn't rats. It wasn't rats from minute one. The rats turn up. Don't worry about that. There will be rats.
That's good because I've only seen one dead one so far, and I was hoping for like a
James
lot.
James walking later. Into the Sea Life Centre, seeing the jellyfish just as you walk through the door. Going, where are the fucking sharks in? Come on, they're on the fucking logos, isn't they? Where's the shark?
Stick, show me a stingray now. Excuse me, madam, where are the stingrays? You know, one star to some Yelp, unless I see a stingray now.
Yeah, walking straight back out again. Matt, you said there was a shark in here. There is, but it's a little bit later. It was just jellyfish. That's all I'm seeing at the moment.
Where is Free Willy?
Anyway, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Matt, is there's been quite a lot of stealth in this so far. That's going to continue, I presume?
Yeah, there's a lot of stealth. There's like a lot of stuff where you kind of, you know, hide in bushes and whatnot to escape. But yeah, but because you're trying to stay hidden. That's how the story starts.
How did you feel about the being chased? Because there's quite a lot being chased as well, isn't it?
Yeah, there is chase. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. But it wasn't as bad as other chase games.
You chased by fucking rats, were you? Where were the rats? Were they chasing you?
Unfortunately not.
Mostly because, I think I was more focused on trying to protect my younger sibling. And you know what I'm like in games. I've got to protect a younger sibling. I will do whatever it takes.
Does that just get an automatic high mark for you then? Does that make your game of the year list? That's all it requires. I mean, the answer is yes, because Detroit was...
Do you get to make the character into a hardened criminal, Matt? Is that why this... like? Scored highly.
Well, I have no doubt of any game, James. I'm not sure what you're referring to there, but what I will say is I'll do whatever it takes to protect a younger sibling in a game. And I think
store and someone's car and also a charity box, then
we
so
were going
be it,
to
hey,
fucking starve to death. I will take any Choco Crisp I see. If there's an open window in a car, I'm going to take a Choco Crisp. It's mine. And if someone has paid for parking and there's a little wooden box with like $40 in, I'm going to smash that into bits because that could mean the difference between life and death.
And the person you're protecting, they just go into thieving. Like they just think thieving.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing,
yes,
though, Matt.
James.
You didn't need that £40 because you stole everything. Like
but if you're genuinely on the road and it's just you two against the world, basically at that point, you're gonna do whatever it takes to survive.
I've suddenly become aware that this is a joke for about four people that listen to a spoiler cast for a specific game that we played. So we should probably stop referencing this, I think. But the true fans know. The true fans know.
It's a good game, James, and I hope you stick with it.
Yeah, I will continue playing
but
it.
What I will say is it's going to be different for you because obviously when it came out and it was like, oh yeah, this is good, or it's a surprise, whereas now there's been, when did it even come out? You know, like 3 years ago? Like 3 or 4 years of like loads of praise of, it's gone from, you know what, this is excellent and double A and all that kind of stuff, to now it's like, yeah, you absolutely need to play it, look at his high scores, so there's lot the expectations are going to be a lot different.
That was just
like
you though, Matt, that was saying all that. That's That's all the... You're the only one I've known that has played this game.
Well, that's not true. But what I'm saying is, it's like it's you're going true. To us now with much raised expectations, but it's still a good game.
Okay. So what we've learnt there is that Matt's picked up a game and now he's worried that he's picked it up too much. And
no, and not just me. I downloaded it today because it's free on the Epic Game Store and there's loads of like 9s and 10s out of 10s. Look, it's a good game, James. I'm looking forward to hearing what you say in future weeks, all right?
Yeah, I'll continue playing it.
Yeah. I've found out today that A Plague Tale Innocence doesn't contain as many rats as we were initially led to believe, yeah? Hey, right. Let's get on to questions, shall we?
Sure. No, I'll do questions. If you want to leave this question, go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS. This sounds like the feedback section, doesn't it? Guy Gilbert, listening to an old Ian Lee on TalkSport podcast, a young David Turner/Elmo was discussing Golden Balls being the game show with the best final round. This. Has his opinion changed, and why is there not a PvP Golden Balls mobile game?
Well, here's a few things for you, Guy Gilbert. For starters, Ian Lee's never been on TalkSport, because that'd be quite strange. But he was on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, yeah.
And I phoned up to talk about the last round of Golden Balls, which was Split or Still. If you've not seen it, go onto YouTube and watch Split or Still videos, because there's loads of the last round clip from that otherwise terrible game show, where there's a bunch of money in the pot. Two people have it. They pick either Split or Still. They reveal at the same time. If they both pick Split, they get half of the money each. If one of them picks Split and the other one picks Still, then the person that picks Still gets the whole money and the person that picks Split gets nothing. And if they both pick Still, then none of them getting any money. So they're allowed like 2 minutes to talk to each other and they're like, I'm going to pick Split. Yeah, so am I. Of course. You know, I know you've got kids. I've got kids. This is life-changing money. We'll both pick Split and we'll come away with half of that. That's enough for me. And then they've opened the balls up and one of them's put Still. And it's like, oh my God, some of the reactions that you can hear. You can hear some words being shouted by the audience. You can hear the gasps. You can hear booing. It's brilliant. It's drama, pure drama. The other thing that I should point out is that they did try and turn this into a game, didn't they? I think it was called Split and Still. It's a Steam game, and the way it worked is that you had to do Split or Still with a random person online, and then if you did it, you moved to the next stage with someone, and you know, there was too many systems involved. It sounded like it didn't really work. Obviously people were just picking Split over and over again, because you know, there's no real loss to doing it the other way. You just went back to the beginning of the game. So yeah, you can look into that. But I don't know how that would work as a game, like a proper game. It would have to be, the only way it would work is it'd have to be at the end of like a game like It Takes Two. And then you have Split or Still at the end. And if you split, you both get to see the ending. If one of you picks Still, then only you get to see the ending and get the achievement or something. Oh, and if you both pick Still, it crashes your console.
or not that I'm too bold about these days, but like maybe if it also means you don't get achievements, or you both get the achievements, or
yeah,
or only one of you something does. Like yeah, the game is called Split or Still. It's actually got mostly positive reviews on Steam. Came out in 2020.
It did. Yeah, I tried to play it, but there wasn't what was that thing called? Nvidia Now or something?
GeForce Now.
GeForce Now. Yeah. They didn't have that wasn't available on GeForce Now, which was a shame.
Was the developer of this mobile version somebody called Guy Gilbert by any chance?
I see what you're thinking.
I wish there was a game on Steam called Split All Steel. Yeah. Available now. It's free to play.
But you should give that a go. That would make a good stream, Matt. You could do that on your computer, couldn't you? On your rig.
On my rig, my sick gaming rig. No, that's not happening.
Shame. Shame.
Maria Mendieta is next. Dear TCGS co-pilots, the awe-inspiring Microsoft Flight Simulator failed to amuse Sean and David's parents.
True.
Hearing this made me wonder what the company could have done differently to reach this demographic. As their offspring, you probably know them better than any marketing team, which leads me to ask the four of you, three of us now, what specific title or genre do you think your parents could actually get into if they gave it the time? Thank you for the laughs and keep up the excellent work. Sincerely, Maria.
Well, this is kind of easy for me because my dad does play a video game every year for hours on end, and it's FIFA. He just plays FIFA over and over again.
Is he still not very good at it, though? Because you said about
I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but he came over the other week and played Harry at FIFA. And he played me at FIFA and I beat him 6-0. And then he played Harry on FIFA thinking, well, you know. And my dad is not the sort of person that would let Harry win. And Harry beat him 5 games in a row. And it was like 4-1 and 5-1 and stuff like that. And I could tell my dad was getting furious. Absolutely furious. So, he's not very good at it, but he still plays it every year. It's crazy. That's weird. That
What's he playing, though? Is he playing online mode or is he playing career?
He plays career mode. He plays career mode on my old PS4, my original PS4. I gave that to him. So he plays it on that. And it's really bad. You look at the state of the controller he uses, and it's always plugged in because the battery's dead. It's a total wreck. But he sits and plays it every year, so he must enjoy it on some level. But sadly, that's the boring answer. Because if you were looking for a joke answer about what sort of things would appeal to him, it's probably stuff that would absolutely destroy any sort of likability that you've got from the previous appearances from my dad. So I probably shouldn't go there. But he's getting old now, that man.
What about your mum, though?
Oh, my mum would never play a video game, regardless of what genre it was. I don't even know what my mum likes. It was weird. It's funny. Like, if you were to say, what's your mum into? I don't think I've got an answer for you. Like, genuinely. Like, when I was growing up and it was Christmas or whatever. When I was growing up, it was Christmas or whatever. I remember once she said she liked Simply Red. So we used to just buy her a Simply Red, like, tape or CD eventually.
Got
every
Mick Hucknall impersonator to come around.
Other than that,
I don't know my parents at all. The thing is, also, you know, when you're going to cut, if it's like their birthday or Christmas or whatever, or not Christmas but birthday specifically, if your dad doesn't like smoke or play golf or drink beer, it's like really limited on the old card choices, aren't you? I know it's like Formula One, I know Sports Palace.
Do you know, me and my brother do, my brother and I do that every year when it's each other's birthday. We look for the most ridiculous card we can get each other. This year it was his 40th birthday and I got him one, and it said to my brother on your 40th birthday, and then it had a poem next to it and just a picture of a bear, not a drawing or a cartoon, a picture of a bear next to it. And I went,
incredibly
that's
majestic
perfect. That's
creatures.
What he's getting. You get extra points if you can get a relevant card with a oil painting of a Spitfire going over a cornfield. That is the classic. The classic. Or a vintage car.
A vintage racing car, yeah.
Yeah, an oil painting of a vintage racing car is another good one. Usually driving past a cornfield. I don't know what it is about cornfields, but they seem to be on a lot of cards.
Classic location for a card.
Easy to paint, I guess.
On that.
So that's what we do. We try and go for those awful ones with the terrible poems and the gold trimming, all of that, all of that stuff. I might start doing that for James. I think he'd genuinely appreciate those ones.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
It's better than the ones that it's like, ooh, you're getting old, so I've got you new wheels, and you open it up and it's like a Zimmer frame with wheels on. And you go, there are your new wheels. Happy birthday. You're like, for fuck's sake. And I can't get the Simpsons ones out of my head. Let's be friends. Like, stuff like that. They were good times on the Simpsons. Where did we get on to greeting cards? Oh, yeah, Simpsons good. There's some good jokes in there.
So answers. So my mum used to be a window dresser. So I'm thinking kind of like something like The Sims, maybe. I mean, I think it'll be a while to get ahead around.
Surely Animal Crossing would be perfect.
Animal Crossing could work there, if it's about arranging things
like that. Animal Crossing would be a great shout.
But yeah, but she'd be like, "Well, you can't actually do anything in it." I mean, yeah, she's like, "There's a fucking limitation in this game."
The store's still the same fucking size, Matt. Take it back. Yeah. Take it back to the shop. The store hasn't expanded at all.
The same items again. and my dad is an electrician, so I'm thinking like that. Basically, that game Sean played, like the house flipper program. The house flipper game where you kind of do up houses and decorate them. So I'm sure he'll probably get some satisfaction out of that.
Yeah.
James.
Why are we thinking that because of their jobs, that's what they'll like? Because surely that's the opposite, isn't it? Oh, I've been at work all day. Let me go home and play a game based around the work that I do.
Yeah, FIFA F1 2022 then.
Good shout. James?
So this is the thing. My parents wouldn't play anything. I mean, although there was only one time really that my dad ever played games, and that was when we used to go, like, it was Christmas and we had to go to my grandparents. No, it's weird. It was like, this is when I was like a really young kid and I had a Game Boy. And we had to go to like my grandparents, and my dad hated going there. And one year I'd got my Game Boy for Christmas or whatever, and he sat in the corner and just played Tetris the entire time we were there.
That was the breakthrough with Tetris.
What a hero.
Yeah, because he didn't want to engage with what was going on around him.
Was that his parents or are you mum?
No, it's my mum's, yeah.
Wow, that's a ballsy move, isn't it? Go to the in-laws, fuck us, I'm playing Tetris.
Argument was they just want to sit there and watch Coronation Street, so why can't I just do this?
Why can't I stack my blocks?
Yeah.
The weird one is that my dad used to play more varied games. Like, so we played through the Halo 1 campaign together in split-screen co-op.
That was
weird, thinking back at that. And we played
It almost slipped, didn't it? Did you hear that, James? He almost said Dungeons and Dragons.
Do you know why I nearly said that? Because it's Double Dragon. That's the game we played through.
D&D. I mean, not D&D. We punched someone.
Dad, I have a magic 7. Please roll the die and see if we can get to heaven. We played.
Eye of Newt. There's a dwarf there.
We played Double Dragon 2 all the way through.
That was
a great game.
It was all right.
It's not a great game.
I know, because you're a Streets of Rage fan. We get it, James. We get it.
Speaking of Streets of Rage, James, have you not played the DLC? Lots of people are raving about that DLC.
No, I haven't played it yet. I probably should, because I heard it was good.
Probably fucking should. Mr. Kipling, good evening, gentlemen. On your last audio show, Mr. Sean Bell Esquire, revealed
the
information...
Going back to that, I know James is more excited to sit down and play a Plague Tale's Innocence to try and challenge you and say it's not a good game than he is to play a game that he knows that he'll love. That's James.
I know, it's because I want to be able to like play something, ask Matt about it and go, and that's good, is it?
Is rats good?
Well, I ain't seen any rats. Is rats good, yes or no? Sorry, go on. Mr. Kipling, what was he saying?
Exceedingly good cakes. Next question. He said on your last audio show, Mr. Sean Bell Esquire.
Have you tried my Battenberg?
Hello, cakes.
Have you tried the ones with the little weird bits of sugar that were in little circles on top? Have you tried those ones?
Have you tried a French fancy, my boy? Okay.
Thanks for joining the show, Mr. Kipling. What got you into making these, mass-producing these weird cakes?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I just love the sugar.
All right, let's move on. Sean Bell Esquire revealed information that he recently bought and ate a whole packet of biscuits to make himself feel better. One felt This was a most tantalising of teases, as I do believe a gentleman did not reveal which type of biscuits he purchased. To that end, I must ask you all, what will be your preferred brand or type of confectionery treat? I hastily add that I myself, the manufacturer of exceedingly good cakes, can only recommend them. Perhaps we should strike a marketing deal after your affairs with Marmite end. So I don't think we actually got a marketing deal with Marmite signed and sealed, sadly.
Are we sticking to biscuits, type of biscuits, or are we saying...
Can we not do that? Because I want to just say what I like. Can I just do that? Can I have a chocolate eclair? Because I really love those.
Really? I always find them really unsatisfying when I have one of them.
I know, but it's like it's the cream,
chocolate eclair,
and the chocolate. It's really good. You know? The bit of chocolate on the top, which is a bit like, you know, heavier.
You know what eclair is?
Yeah, thanks for explaining it. I've eaten two today.
See, I don't know if you realise.
I'm just passionate about eclairs.
There's chocolate on the top, and then a bit of puff pastry. But within the puff pastry is where the magic lies.
Cream, my boy.
It's more the chocolate, honestly. But
spills everywhere.
Especially those Belgian ones. All good.
I do like them.
Belgium.
France.
Where do you sit on a profiterole, James?
They're pretty good. I quite like them. I mean
they're the same as the eclair.
I know, but then they've also got all that sauce all like poured all over them as well. Sauce. It feels a bit excessive.
I prefer profiterole because less messy.
The sauce is... You're aware that the sauce is chocolate, right? And it's just...
Yeah, I know, but it's all like... There's just tons of it. It's like with the eclair, you know where you are. You've just got like a bit of chocolate top. Yeah, you know where you are with one of those.
If we're sticking to that area, if you've got... You know you could buy those selections of cream treats, like the cakes or whatever. Yeah. Mm. I'm not going for the eclair. I'm going for the one which is more like a donut split open with a bit of cream and some jam in it. That's the one to go for, James.
But the problem with those is that when you bite into it, it goes all over the place. You don't get
eclair
that.
Eclair fucking doesn't. It's literally a water balloon. That thing.
Yeah, it's not, is it, in the same way? I tell you what, I used to really like vanilla slices, but how do you eat one of those?
Let's go.
How do you eat one? How do you eat a vanilla slice without it going everywhere?
The most frustrating treat you can get, because they taste amazing, but it's just instantly unsatisfying from the first second because it goes everywhere. You're constantly fighting. You're covered in cream. It's like, this has ruined it for me. But they're so bloody
nice. It's amazing, but it's just it's impossible to eat.
And
I have had one, because it's too chewy, the pastry at the top and bottom, isn't it? So it's literally just...
As soon as you bite into it, it just goes...
spreads
it goes
out.
It like everywhere.
Really,
it's like, you know, like if you have like a crumpet or whatever, and you like put butter on it, and then you bite into it, and then it goes all over the place. It's really annoying, that sort of stuff. That's why...
Not like that for a crumpet? What are you talking about?
No, it is. You just bite into a crumpet and then it's like whoosh all over your tie or whatever. You know, it's really
all over your tie? What, there's a bit of crumpet on your tie?
No, like butter or whatever.
You're putting too much butter on it, mate.
Definitely I am, It tastes good. Like with a crumpet.
It tastes good. Oh, do you know what I'm a sucker for? Fucking toasted hot cross buns. Forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely one I put way too much butter
If you
butter
do that
on.
With butter, it's
very
just
like a pool. On everything, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we've heard about you. You used to scoop it out of the fridge, didn't you, with a spoon?
Guilty, yep. yes. If we can go back into that kind of chill desserts freezer, I'm definitely one for the kind of cream apple turnovers or raspberry turnovers. In that same kind of section, fucking hell, so nice. I mean, there's been times.
What I had in a restaurant this week? I had a this was crazy. It was called a chocolate crownie. Have you ever heard this?
No.
It's a soft cookie with a similar shaped brownie on top of it. So it was all come as one, and it was more cookie dough than it was an actual cookie. But it was just like this big cylinder with a brownie on top and cookie dough underneath it. It was ridiculous. It was so good.
That does sound nice.
Yeah, I've got time for a chocolate brownie. I've got time for some cookie dough as well. What of it?
Yeah. So if I was going to Tesco and Jill's like, okay, let's just get something to watch Netflix or whatever it is, and I'm like, well, okay, I'll maybe get us a bag of something, but I'm also almost certainly going to buy a box.
Sorry, you're getting a bag of what?
What did I say?
What sort of party was this?
What did I say? I was going to say Rebels, but
okay. Right, okay, Rebels. Okay, not is that what they're cooking. Called? I don't know. I'm not down with the terminology the street, these days. Yeah. Okay, right. Okay.
Anyway, I'll also
come
get
home with a bag of sight, and then by the end of it, we're going, "What the fuck kind of movie is this?" They're coming out of the TV screen. I didn't know we had a 3D TV, Matt. We don't.
Yeah. I'm off my face. Yeah, but skip to the end. Basically, I like a couple of creamy apple turnovers.
All right, let's get to the last message then.
Drew Peacock is the last message. What's the best flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate.
Nah.
Easy. I don't get mint. I don't get mint ice cream. What's the point?
Right. Recently, I've liked salted caramel.
I've got time for that.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Hey, what's your favourite Ben and Jerry's, James? That's a question.
I don't know. I haven't had it for ages.
Really?
I can't think.
Oh, well, I'll tell you mine. Mine is that Netflix and chilled one. It's got like kind of salted pretzels and maybe some like salted caramels. Like, yeah, I think it's Netflix and chilled.
It just sounds like so really nice. Salty.
Exactly. Not it's fucking well nice. Yeah, no, I think it's maybe like kind of maybe it's peanut butter ice cream with bits of salty pretzel. It's really nice. Really nice. I recommend.
Yeah, I'm not down for peanut butter, but like I went from.
What's wrong with you?
Half baked to just the chocolate fudge one, and now I'm all about fish food. I've got a lot of time for fish food now. I wasn't too keen on it to start with, but I'm keen on it now, Matt. I'm keen on it.
No, it's pretty basic. It's like, I mean,
if I'm going into a restaurant and I know it's going to be that hard scoop nonsense that tastes more like ice, then I'll just go for if they've got a whippy, I'll go for that. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
If I know that it's decent ice cream, then it's chocolate. It's just the best.
Nah,
it's so
too
good.
Fucking boring. I mean, no,
boring.
You know what, Dave? You're too fucking boring. You know what? You heard that.
Why don't you fuck off then?
I mean, why don't you fuck off then? No, because
don't just say. Hold on, Matt. When we're having an argument like this, a bit of banter, don't just say what I said to you back to me, because you need to come up with your own. Come on. Well, I think you should go to Specsavers, because you were driving home the other night, Dave, and you weren't wearing your glasses because you don't want to be seen on Sunday with them.
Yeah, chocolate's just a bit boring, isn't it? I'll go strawberry.
No?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Chocolate's boring. Strawberry. If you're choosing
If I was going to get any ice cream, I wouldn't get like a bog standard flavour. I'd just get something a bit more that's not just chocolate. No,
So go for strawberry instead. That's all you did.
Eat and mess. Oh, sorry.
You said all you did was say the flavour, but in that voice. It doesn't make it. You can't just. Would you remember like the cheap Neapolitan ice cream that your parents used to get all the time when you were growing up? Yeah, it was crap. And it was really funny. It's like the idea was like you can have three flavours in one, but you open 90% of those pots in people's freezers and the chocolate one was like completely gone. And then you had the strawberry vanilla that left over.
No, it'd be like the chocolate one would be gone and the vanilla at a push, but no one's touching the strawberry.
What?
No
one's going to touch that. It's well nice.
That would be the only one where the pink side had gone.
If I had to eat them in order, I would honestly probably go strawberry and vanilla chocolate.
Nah, I'll go the other way.
Absolute madness. No, I just, I'm big into that, but yeah, I love it. Love it.
Actually, have you actually said what your favourite flavour would be, James? You haven't, have you?
Yeah, I said salted caramel.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You went for a fancy one. But in a Neapolitan, which way are you going?
I'm going chocolate in the Neapolitan.
Yeah, chocolate. Is that it?
Yeah, James, the Haagen-Dazs salted caramel is really nice.
Yeah, I know. That'd be the one I'd be definitely going for. I'm just looking at it right now.
It's saved in your album on your phone.
Yeah. Speaking of Mr. Whippy, right? When have those wafers that they put them in? When have they ever been nice? Like I've never understood the wafers.
They're always like kind of papery, aren't they?
Hang on, wafers you put in the ice cream.
No, he's talking about the cone. He's talking about the cone.
Oh, I like the cone.
Really? Yeah. Have you tried a waffle cone yet?
Have I tried a waffle cone? I don't know what you mean.
So if you go to like a ice cream, I think Vans do them as well, but you can now do, well, you can, I don't know if you could do it, kid. They call them waffle cones, but they're different. You should try that next time and you'll never have one of those paper fucking wafer cones
I've just Googled waffle cone. Yeah, I've had a waffle cone.
They're business.
Yeah,
I mean,
They're significantly better.
Especially the ones with a little bit of chocolate. Yeah, the chocolate at the top. Yeah, that's good.
I'm all about that, James. You know it, boy. What was the... and I've always got to have a flake in it. And even though it's a cheap, not Cadbury's flake, and it tastes a bit rough, you still got to have it. Still got to be in there. Yeah. You can't have it without a flake. Okay, where are we going with this? Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
This is like local radio, isn't it?
Mom! Go on.
Okay, well, that's it for questions. Thanks for sending us your questions.
Ice cream with a bubble gum at the bottom of it? Why did that start happening? Yeah, the screwball.
That was weird, wasn't it? Especially because when you got to it, it was all like really hard and sort of not very nice anyway. Nice.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It was like a nice little treat that keeps you going. Okay, well,
it wasn't, though, was it? It broke teeth because it was frozen. Yeah. Frozen bubble gum.
And then they went, I don't know, what about the everlasting gobstoppers? That was poisonous.
Yeah, they were weird. Yeah, they were very strange. But also, I don't know, it's a whippy with, we'll put a lolly in it. We'll call it Popeye. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this now? Strange. Strange times.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Different.
Do you want to do the socials, Matt?
Yes, no streaming this week unless either of you two want to, you know.
If I get the time, I will, because I do want to do a Microsoft Flight Simulator stream. I also might play something. I'll try and do a stream this week.
Okay, so there might be a stream this week. That's it. If you miss these streams we're not doing live, you can go over to YouTube and you can watch the VOD of the streams. But back onto Switch, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime Gaming, a lovely new service that means you get to subscribe to a channel of your choosing for free every single month. It just comes with a subscription. It's absolutely madness. But we'd love if you went over to our channel, gave us your free sub. Really, really appreciate it. Dark Halls are back in like a rerun fashion. We're rerunning the old Dark Halls episodes. Three episodes are up now on the feed. Every Friday morning, a new episode appears on the feed. It's not on this main podcast feed.
Genuinely getting abuse for a podcast that we recorded in 2015. This week on Twitter, I genuinely had someone go to me, "Sorry, how do you kick? Because I'm trying what you said."
Love it. But yeah, it's not on this feed. You have to search for Dark Halls on any of your podcast services. Please, if you're on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are, if you're able to leave a review on this new feed, please go over and leave a review. It really helps, and it's good to see some reviews for a show that happened 6 years ago. Every Friday morning, new episode, so go over and search for Dark Halls on whatever service you use. We're on Patreon, as Dave said at the beginning. We're doing a Patreon Talks over this Sunday from 9 p.m. Go to our Patreon page for more information there, and tsuggest.co is the website where there's links to our social channels and Dark Halls and also our lovely Discord.
Thank you so much for living it this week. We will be back next week. Is it a full crowd next week?
No, I'm not here next week.
What do you mean? You're not here next week?
I'm not here next week, no.
Okay. All right, it's going to be a while before we have all of us back on again.
Yeah, but probably December time.
So expect some crazy shows in the near future. We will catch you soon. We love you. Goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.